Oh. Oh. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse, with me, my dude and co-host, Dick Popo.
That's me.
I'm black, he's Mexican, and now that we got that out of the way, welcome to our podcast. Is it a podcast about nothing in particular? We got some shit to talk today, but before any and all of that, if you want to chime in, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. You can find us on all of your social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube. Simply add ibhmpodcast in an appropriate spot. If you don't want to do any of that, head over to our website, ibhmpodcast.com, and you can find all of our social media links there. Now, if you want to hit me up, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr. You can find me at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. If you want to holler at my man, Dick Popo, his main source of social media fuckery is
soulpopo.tumblr.com. The S-O-U-L-P-A-P-O. Yeah.
And today,
I want to change. I want to be good. I want to be of the soul. Soul Popo.
Soul Popo. He's soulful.
Please.
And today, we are joined. We have a very special guest. One half of the Black Guy Who Tips, Karen. And your main source or social media fuckery is?
You can find me on Twitter at Say That Again. That as in D-A-T.
That's Say That Again.
Yep,
yes,
that's
sir.
The best place to find me. And if you want to find out anything about the Black Guy Who Tips, you can find everything about us at theblackguywhotips.com.
And I really think that's going to get a lot of attention because I don't think most have heard of Black Guys Who Tips. So that's
no, that, they are huge. Nobody heard of us.
I really see you guys going somewhere.
Yeah, and no, I appreciate Karen coming in on the podcast. I'm excited. I feel like we got a celebrity on the show right now.
Yeah,
I'm
no idea how much this man geeked out. Seriously.
Man
geeked out. He's like, you have no idea what's about to go down. I'm like, really?
I'm excited. It's one of those things where I found you guys do, like I said, I love Stitcher. And so that's why I find most of my podcasts through Stitcher. And when people listen, they actually, the likes and the thumbs up, they actually matter because they actually start linking like podcasts together.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys kind of float in that mixture. So there are people that actually listen to you, and I see you kind of bounce up and down. And I was like, you know what? That sounds very, very interesting. And I don't know which one of you did, but one of you actually left some feedback on Mr. Span's show. That's the very first time
that was me.
And I was like, that podcast name sound interesting. And I jotted it down, but then I send you kind of, because I do so much, so then I send it kind of run in my mixture of likes on Stitcher, and I listen. I was like, you know what? I think I like the Black and Mexican dude.
That's what's up.
I was like, I am in.
That's what's up. I know, because I started listening to y'all show about like 2 years ago or so. It was through Span, because it was right after Span had did that interview with y'all like a long time ago before he had that whole situation in Chicago when he got arrested because he had his gun and all that shit.
Yes.
And when he went on his little hiatus, I started listening to y'all show, and then y'all show introduced me to a whole bunch of other podcasts, and then here we are.
Yeah,
yes,
we just be on our podcast grind. Podcasting is our life. It is what we do. We love doing it, and we love introducing our fans to more people. So shout out to our fans is going to start listening, and shout out to our fans, you're going to listen, and this will soon be one of your favorite podcasts in your rotation. You know, that's what I'm really about, just sharing the love and letting people know that it is a mixture of different podcasts. Everybody don't like rap. Exactly. Everybody don't like rock. Some people like that country. Some people like, you know, tap dancing or line dancing, whatever you want. It's a mixture of podcasts.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of podcasts too. Like, there's so many different types of podcasts out there. And so there's all different just types of fucking podcasts. And whatever your cup of tea is, I mean, you can fuck with it. So I'm excited. And I know there is a little bit of, I think when all of us talk, the mic, I don't know what Google's doing. Google's being an asshole.
Well, same motherfuckers don't try to talk over one another. Take turns and get signals.
It's your turn.
So real quick before we get started, I got a couple of shout outs. We had some new Facebook likes, and so I wanted to shout out Gracie Pounder, Chantel Salazar, Evelyn, Joanna Abalos, Alma and Mike Jimenez, Eric Frost, and Jose Gonzalez. So our Mexican fans are coming through. Is that your people over there? They running across the border fucking with us?
I have no idea. I did try doing a, I don't know if I told you when before we did the weekly thing, I made a little secret episode with a cartel connection or whatever. So unless he's spreading the word, I have no idea. But
either way,
I don't like talking Spanish.
Either way, we growing, y'all. We trying.
I hate them dirt specs.
And for anyone who's listening for the first time, we are an uncensored podcast. And so, enjoy it. Prepare to be entertained, enlightened, and possibly offended. That's what we specialize in. So,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
I wanted you real quick to plug your the Black Guy Who Tips to any of our listeners who might be new to podcasts and haven't heard the Black Guy Who Tips, because you guys are on 5 days a week now, right?
Yes.
Damn.
The Black Guy Who Tips is a podcast that me and my husband do. We do it 5 days a week, and we have premium spinoff shows in addition to our 5 days a week show that we do. So we podcast just about every day. It's something that we do and love. We've been doing it about 5 years now. And, it's something that we do and we love. And it's something that, I feel like when it comes to podcasting, especially if you are not already famous, it's one of those things where we're not in competition with nobody. Exactly. We're all in our minds, we're all in this together. No matter black, white, no matter what purpose you have, a voice is a voice. And no matter what your voice is, it's somebody out there looking for your voice. And once they find your voice, they found a good place. And it's just one of those things where we literally go out and we seek different voices, other voices other than ours. And it's just one of those things where we do a comedy podcast. We love it. We enjoy it. We interact with our fans. Our fans interact with us. You can find everything about us over at theblackguywhotips.com. All our Twitter information, all our his Twitter account is Rodimus Prime. That's where you can find him at on Twitter. We also have a Twitter for the show at TBGWT, and the Black Guy Who Tips on Facebook and Google Plus and probably everywhere else. You can find our podcast on the most iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all those.
And all you got to do on Google is type the Black Guy Who, and they pop up. They're all over the place. So.
And let me tell you this. I am so proud of us.
It's number one.
Yeah, when you used to look us up on Google, when you would type in Google, the black guy.
Yeah.
We have fought years to be at the top of that list. We used to be behind the black guy on Hey Arnold. We used to be behind the black guy who died first in movies.
Yeah.
So we have came a long way, baby. Now the Black Guy Who Tips is on the top of the charts.
That's how you do it. I know. We still working on I'm Black, He's Mexican. We still get racist shit that pops up and interracial relationship things that pop up on our Google search. So hopefully no one thinks that we're homosexual lovers. We're just friends, y'all.
No,
we promise.
That's exactly what happened. And if for some reason you type in vagina and we come up too, we surpass, was it MedMD? That's one of the biggest trips that I saw.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
So we trying, y'all. So had a little bit of randomness before we get started. Fucking Google. As much as I want to hate Google and them tracking every fucking thing that we're doing, I just found out that they have this Google Play thing where you could upload up to 20,000 songs for free onto their little cloud server and listen to it directly from your fucking phone. Why wasn't I informed of this? I did not know this. I almost spent $300 on buying an iPod, and then I came across this. And as much as I want to hate Google for being in my life and watching me every fucking step of the way, they just saved me $300 on a motherfucking iPod. And so I can't even be mad at these niggas anymore. I'm just like, fuck.
No, That's internet, though. They want to take. They want you to pay with the internet.
Yeah, and I'm surprised you're buying an iPhone in 2000. I mean, not iPhone, but you said iPhone or I.
No, iPod.
I thought you said iPod. I was like, you buying an iPod in 2014?
Yo, because I have 18,000 songs on my laptop.
You can't carry your hard drive with you.
Yeah, it's I can't walk around with the terabyte hard drive plugged into the phone and all that. So I was like, let me go ahead and give me an iPod. And then I was like, there got to be a way I can access this shit. And I looked it up, and I was like, Google Play, and the shit is free. Man, spy on me all as much as you want, NSA. Y'all just save me some money. I ain't even mad anymore. Y'all win. I'll throw my hands up. Y'all win.
And I think for me, we do Spotify. So for us, we pay the monthly fee and just get access to everything. And so to me, that's like my pocket of millions of songs that I have at my fingertips. Yeah, you have to pay for it, but they also have a free one too. You don't have unlimited access to it. Like you have so many hours that you can play.
Okay.
To me, Spotify is worth every dime, because not too long after everything hits, it's the whole thing is on Spotify, and that way I don't, because almost like Google Play, I know how to do some stuff, but I'm not tech savvy, so if it's too complex, I tap out.
Like, I'm done. And I ain't never fucked with Spotify. So is it like Pandora or?
It's a convenient thing, right?
It's actually better, to my personal opinion. It's better than Pandora because, you can actually do the same thing as far as Pandora, start your own playlist and all that stuff. But with Spotify, you basically tap in the name and you can find everything that artist was in. Regardless of if it was a single, if it was a CD, you can find everything that artist was in, and you can make your own individual mixtapes, and chop it up yourself and say, I like this song, I don't like this song, and then off of your albums that you selected, you can take it and you can actually put it on your individual list. So it's like you can have 2,500 albums and say, okay, out of these albums, these are the songs out of these albums that I want in my mix. And you can just put random and play, and you can have it designed where you can play offline, where you can play it and stream against your connectivity to the internet. It's like almost like its own little server. And so, that's what I love about it, because for me, if I find something that I like, I play it a gazillion times. Right now, I'm on the Pharrell Happy. So all day long, I'm like, because I'm happy all day long at my desk. That's all you hear is happy for 8 hours a day. Yeah. So, it's on repeat. So for me, it saves me the time and the money and the struggle. I don't have to figure out how to download and all that stuff. I'm not really familiar with Google Play, and I understand the purpose of it. But I know for me, Spotify actually, for my needs, it actually satisfied my needs for that.
So I'm gonna have to fuck with it. I'm gonna have to check it out.
Version.
Yeah.
I like how it's kind of linked up to the Twitter and then also the Facebook. I mean, I think Pandora does that too, but it seems more slicker on Spotify.
And it's more user-friendly. For me, if you're playing something, you can post it on Facebook, post it on Google. You can actually take it and email it to somebody. You say, hey, I like this song. Let me email the link to somebody. And so I think for me, because it's more user-friendly and social as far as that. So, if I'm listening to something, I'll post it on Facebook. I'll post it on Twitter. And they have it where as you're playing, it will actually post your list. Your list as you're playing.
Okay.
People can see your list on Facebook.
So I'm going to have to fuck with it. For me to be the tech person that I am and all into shit, I'm so late with every fucking thing. I still don't even really fuck with Pandora. I would fuck with it a little bit. My girl is more on it. But, I'm going to have to step my game up.
I get more embarrassed. It's just I'm so damn Jewy with my data. I'm like, I can wait till I get home to listen to this. I can wait till I'm at a Starbucks to check this out. Oh, you need directions for here. I'm going to wait just a little bit longer. And
trying to save every dime. I don't blame, but that's what I like about the streaming, where you don't have to worry about it eating up all your stuff. You can I got it here. It's on my phone. We're good to go.
Also, it doesn't use the same amount of data as you would when you're streaming something?
No, because like when you're at home, you can favorite songs and literally download it to your Stitcher. I mean, not your Stitcher, but your
to the Spotify.
Spotify. So it's like if you say I want to listen to these things offline, you're actually on Spotify server. But when you play it, it doesn't eat your. It doesn't eat up against. You know how you have so much.
Memory a month or whatever.
It doesn't eat up against that because it's literally downloaded to your phone.
I think that's
what I like about it. Like you can listen to it all day long, and you don't have a problem with the eating that quote unquote cap up.
Yeah,
you might got me then.
I know. I think we sold.
I like it. Like when it comes to listening to like music and mixtapes, any artist you can literally think of is on there. Like old school, new school, and on top of that, it's very good at suggesting. Hey, you like this person? What about this person? You'd be like, well, I never heard that. And something else I like about Spotify, it has like a friends list. So everybody that's on Spotify, you can see what they're listening to. So I found music going. Okay, let me see what. Roger's listen to, okay, and you can, when you go in, you can see their list. You go, okay, I'm going to start that list, and that list. So you can see their list and bring their list onto your list so you can play what they have on through your account.
See, and that's pretty cool because I thought it was just like Pandora because I would see it pop up like on the Facebook feed, and I was thinking it was just another Pandora. It's all just another thing where it's just streaming a whole bunch of music and all that. But yeah, I'm going to have to fuck with it. I didn't know you could do all that shit with it.
Yeah, because what we did, we tried it for free. And it was one of those things where, okay, it's free, but once you get used to it and your time start capping out, you'd be like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pay this $9.99 a month because it's cheaper than the CD and it's easy.
Yeah, exactly. That shit is crazy. And another random thought I had, speaking of money and saving money or not saving money, am I the only person who has noticed the homeless people are really heavy on the sides of the roads coming off the freeways nowadays?
Yeah, up underneath the bridges.
Yeah, I've noticed.
They trolls.
Yo, I've noticed there's been a lot of homeless people every time I get off the freeway, and I find it convenient that this is also tax season. And yeah, they've come out in flocks during tax season, and everybody got them signs out, and I'm calling conspiracy on this.
They own shifts, yo. They own shifts. I kid you not. That's like hardcore haggling, or not even that, but like they've actually passed laws down here where they're trying to restrict that. Like they're like shooing them away from the fucking corners because they're aggressive. Like they're like panhandling is what it's called.
Yeah, that's what it's called. And in some places they've actually banned it where they were like, look, you can't be here. Because for some people it makes them feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, or either, especially being a woman, you're walking like, hey, dude, I don't know you. I don't want you.
Yeah, this random dude walking up on you. Yep.
Yeah. And for me, I'm like this. I'm like, hey, I like my car. I don't want you stealing my car, beating me upside the head. Then guess what? I'm homeless now. No, thank you.
My whole thing is don't make me feel guilty because that bit of Catholic guilt gets sprinkled right on me as soon as the motherfucker gives me some kind of verse. Some kind of scripture. And it just hits me like, oh, don't use that against me.
Oh, Jesus, take my money. And I feel bad, too, because, I mean, there's homeless people out there who really, like, need some help getting back on their feet. But then you got so many of these motherfuckers out here who are just trying to get paid and like, oh, it's tax season and I need some new J's. So let me go ahead and hop out here with this sign. And
I'd like some J's on my feet.
It's fucked up. Oh, can you hear us good? Oh, I see Karen holding the headphones. Can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I got like one ear.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting, one ear too.
That's so weird.
Oh, I don't know, because I can hear y'all good.
What did we say? What did we say that upset things? But no, honestly, and obviously, I mean, if you feel compelled, then one should give. But I mean, really, and I forgot who said it. I think they said it in a comment. I don't know if it was Chris Rock. I don't know if you mentioned it before. But as soon as you know, like, when you see signs, like I've actually seen some funny little ironic, like, are you doing this for the Vine? Are you doing this for the Instagram post? Like hilarious fucking signs. Yeah. I'm thinking, how serious is this? Are they just trying to come from? Because if it was for real, would it be funny or would you be asking?
Oh, yeah.
You know. But then again, like how you know, Pocket mentioned before, you know, how often are you going to be asking and being polite until you just start taking shit from somebody?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, especially here in Arizona. I mean, I know it's snowing out there in the East Coast. It's real cold. I mean, I know spring's barely coming, but we hot as hell already here. So I mean, we're already cooking. We're already baking in the middle of the sun, like a raisin in the sun. So imagine being told no so much. Yeah. That does shit to a person's ego. You know what I mean? So
I can only imagine. And I want to ask you guys some questions about Arizona. How do you guys feel about a lot of the laws that they've been passing out there in Arizona? I just want to get you guys' perspectives on it. Because I said, with me being in North Carolina, we read these articles and like, you know, you meet people, but since I'm literally talking to you and you're from there, I just want to know, like, how do you feel? What's your perspectives? Does it make you angry, mad? You don't care? Like,
first of all, I don't know if I should take it or not, but I do definitely feel upset that we're seen as a bunch of crazies. But you know what, though? I honestly do feel that we're a bunch of crazies, and I do blame it on the sun and the atmosphere cooking us a certain way. But we really are. We're burnt. We crisp it.
It's interesting being born and raised out here. Like, if I wasn't born and raised out here, I couldn't see myself saying, hey, Arizona's a place I want to live at. And so, like, all the fucked up laws that are passed in America, it's always Florida, Texas, and Arizona. Anytime it's some crazy, like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, that's some old 1920 shit. It's in one of those three fucking states. And so, yeah, we had the recent shit, what was it, SB...
1062. Which I got really upset that John Brewer pushed out on it because, although it was very Republican leaned on sort of thing, like, I actually believed in it. Like, if it brings out segregation and motherfuckers become racist, like, let's call them bigots, how like Travis said, you know what I'm saying? Like, good, let's not give them business.
And it's just, it's weird, like, there's different sides of it because, there's a lot of fucked up laws that keep getting passed out here. But that is one thing it is good to know who the bigots are to see who not to fuck with. But yeah, this is a Republican state. That's basically what it comes down to. This is a Republican-run state, and they don't give a fuck about any of the minorities out there.
I was okay with
that.
I just got mad how the LBGD, whatever the hell, lesbian...
LBGT.
Yeah, they jump right on it, and you could even see the strung-out 4-year-old dyke who used to do heroin who now does public speech just to show them how we got to connect their sister with... Oh, by the way, we should make the announcement. Today's International Woman Day. But they had...
Give a shit. But Pop-up is so offensive. He's so offensive.
But they were so quickly though to take sides because it's a good way for attention. Just how John Brewer, being the dumb bitch that she is, every time Obama comes out here, she wants to meet him on the airstrip, wave the finger, and just look like showing us that we're a bunch of dumb.
So needless to say, Arizona's fucked up, and the sun. All of us are crazy out here.
I love it though, and actually like it. Because all was it all publicity is and bad publicity, even showing your ass. I mean, shit. Kim Kardashian got a show out of a sex tape. That's what I asked.
You know what? That's true. And I guess for me, because I'm down south, and when you deal with race and racism and things like that, it's something that everybody deals with across the country. But for some reason, it's funny how a lot of times they try to pin it to down south. You guys are not down south. Yeah. But yet, some of y'all, like, what you guys try to pass are worse than us. That's why I was like, well, how do you really feel? Because this is not a down south thing, you know, because you guys are, you're not south. You're definitely not south as far as the country is concerned.
And that's the whole thing, like, even going to the Martin Luther King Day, Arizona was the last state to recognize Martin Luther King Day as a holiday. Like, John McCain fought that as hard as he fucking could. He did not want that to be a fucking holiday. And I even remember going back to when I was in grade school, the kids on the south side, which is where the minorities were, we were allowed to get Martin Luther King Day off, and then the people up in just the ones down here and the kids up north, which was mostly the richer white kids, they got Columbus Day off. And I remember that as a kid, as just like, I don't know. It's something with Arizona, and that's the reason why it just I find it. It's a joke. Like, they do it on purpose. Like, I don't know. It's the whole sleight of hand, the magic trick to keep us arguing and not paying attention to what's really going on. Like, there's no way you could actually believe that type of shit. The shit that the Ann Coulters and the Bill O'Reillys, like, y'all are putting on a show. This, you can't actually honestly think like that. I don't know.
Speaking of I don't want to step on toes. I just want to say really quickly, speaking of ridiculousness, I got upset, though, that I wasn't that, you know, you had to have been, like, black, I guess, to be able to kind of to cop out so you can go to the parades, because I like the parades here. You know why? The one reason why I love the parades, besides the unity, is the fact that motherfuckers would fight. I wanted to go just for the riots, because there's fights every time.
And that is another thing, too. Growing up, I used to hate every time Martin Luther King Day came, it was none but a bunch of niggas, and I don't mean it as a term of endearment. It was just a bunch of hard motherfuckers with the hard R just fighting out there. And I would be mad when I see, like, the parades in Atlanta and other places, and, like, these people are together, and they're being cool, and out here in Arizona.
My granddaddy was hosed down by the white man. That's fine.
Put them up. But yeah, Arizona's a mess. And I mean, and like, it's born and raised out here. And if I was on the outside looking in, I'd be like, I don't know how y'all live out here. But I mean, I don't know.
We just cooked a certain way. Bring them to whatever his name is. Rich Homie Quan.
Yeah. So I mean, go ahead.
No, and I think for me, when we was hearing about a lot of the laws and things, and I guess for me on the outside looking in, it's just one of those things where you going, that's fucked up. Are we going back to 1922? How can you tell a population of people that we will not serve you? Like, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me, regardless of if you are for or against. And it's one of those things where people fail to realize, once rights are starting to be stripped, oh, whatever it is, it's coming down your street too. People have a tendency not to care until there's something that's on their platform.
Yeah.
So I'm like this. Years ago, people fought for rights, just rights, period, regardless of color or skin, just rights. And for you to think you can turn around, and the only reason why that lady changed her mind, because the NFL was like, hey, we about to draft an openly gay dude, and there's no way we can have the Super Bowl here.
Yep.
And they was like, oh, you fucking the money? Oh, my bad.
Oh, we gonna lose some money? Yeah. Oh, okay, we take
no, that. No, I'm sorry, sir. We allowed the guy, man. We even give him we'll fucking create a unisex restroom just for him. Like, fuck.
That brings up a good point, because that goes back to when SB 1070 happened, when they were going to just any Mexican there.
Nobody care about Mexicans, though. Like, that's the thing. But you bring up the gays.
But no.
And it's like, hey.
When that shit passed, or when they were trying to pass that, I had a friend that I was talking to. It was a black dude, and he was like, he didn't give a fuck about SB 1070. He was like, oh, they ain't fucking with me, I don't care. But no, that's the point. They pass this and they keep fucking with Mexicans and it's legal. They're coming after us next. Like, don't say that, oh, that doesn't bother me. No, you're next. So yeah, we gotta stand up for one another, because as soon as they take this person's rights, they're gonna move over here to the blacks, and then they're gonna move to the gays, and yeah, they're gonna. So it's so silly when people aren't affected by something and they're like, oh, well, I don't give a fuck. Well, it's gonna eventually affect you.
Well, like I said, the way that it works is, if there is a lot of money that's gained, a lot of revenue is gained because of it, it ain't gonna be fucked with. You know what I'm saying? So, rest assured, gay community, we want your money.
Not only that, I think the issue is bigger than that. You brought up a good point when you were talking about nobody cares about the Mexican, but the gays. This is what people fail to realize. Nobody cares about minority, but there are too many white people that are openly gay. And because this group has a very, very vocal perspective, they're like, we will not stand for this. It's one of those things where they really don't care about any other group, because don't let you be black and gay. They're not really concerned about you, but you reap the benefits, you know. we can all be gay together, but when you talk about your black, gay, lesbian issues, we ain't got no time for that, you know. We need to talk about our issues. And it's just one of those things where it's money in there. And the thing about it, that's out there where you guys live, it's a wedding destination. Like, people travel from all across the country to come there. And so you talk about you're so ignorant that you will that the companies are willing to turn down cash. But even bigger than that, let me know if I'm wrong. Didn't the rule also say, like, police, fire department, doctors, like, people could just be like, fuck it, I'm not serving you.
Yeah, because really? I had that conversation with my mom.
But if that was a health law, though, they can't be denied services, though, when it comes to that.
But that was part of what they were trying to put in there, because that's what my mom was talking about. My mom was like, you know, I don't care, like, okay, this person over here that cooks wedding cakes, they don't like gay people, they don't want gay money or whatever, then okay, you know, that person's a bigot, and if you disagree with their way of thought, just don't spend money over there. But then you have the whole situation where if you do get cops and doctors and firefighters involved, but if my house is on fire, and you know what? I don't like black people, so I'm not going to put this fire out. Or I don't like Muslims. I'm not going to, you know, do a blood transfusion for you. Like, it can get so fucking crazy.
Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses wouldn't want that anyway, so. But okay, I guess you're talking about the Muslims. My bad. Wrong.
See, we equal. See, the thing about it, at least they were equal opportunities. So I do give them credit for saying, if you're going to be racist, we're going to cover any race that can be angry about. And I think, to me, that's the heart of the issue. It's one of those things where they go, hey, if you're going to be racist, you ain't got to wave your flag no more. You ain't got to go out on the message board. You can you can look somebody in their face and do everything short of calling them a nigga or a faggot. We don't care. We gonna openly let you criticize people.
And I honestly believe, I've said it and some people don't agree with me, but I honestly believe that, well, for the African American community, things have gotten worse for black people since Obama got into office, because there's a lot of different people who are like, oh, there's a black president, there's no such thing as racism, and so you black people can't complain about anything because look, the president's black. Yeah, and so all this shit with the Trayvon Martins and with the dude that once again got in that car accident and went to knock on the door and the cops came and shot him, and the Renisha McBride, and all this shit has happened, unfortunately, since Obama has been in office, because a lot of people are looking at it like, oh, racism is over. We have a non-white male president, so racism is over, so stop complaining about all this. I think the racist, bigoted attitudes have really shined ever since Obama has gotten office. We start to see how a lot of people honestly feel, because, you know, you could hide a bunch of shit, but when that shit is in your fucking face and it's out there, it's out there now. So I don't know.
And also, for me, what a lot of people fail to realize is that racism has always been around. Racism will always be around.
Yep.
People's skin color matters. You are blank American first. Yeah. And that's something that's hard for people to understand. Unless you're a white American, you're an American if you're a white American. Yeah. Or unless they adopted you into white. Because what people fail to realize, a lot of different Americans that are considered white weren't always considered white.
Yep.
You know, as time went on, they kind of been embraced into the group. So you know, everybody's considered white. And it's just one of those things where I know that the color of my skin matters. I understand this. This is something I have to live with every day. But for a lot of people, they can just be themselves and not look upon as the representative for their whole group. They don't have to be in a room and be questioned, how do your people feel? When they feel we all have different experiences, regardless of what culture you're from, everybody's experience is not the same. And it's funny, though, when you were talking about Obama, these things would have happened regardless, but because Obama's in office, for some reason, it's kind of drawn the quote-unquote country's attention to it. And I think the thing about it, a lot of people say those very ignorant things, A, when they don't have to deal with racism.
Yeah.
B, when they don't have to deal with the consequences or the repercussions of just our law system and just the way it's designed. You don't have to worry about stupid laws where I gotta carry my ID all the time. You don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, if I get pulled over by the police, if I pass a brown paper bag test, will I get beat upside the head?
Exactly.
You don't have to, and that's a real thing for a lot of people across the country, but because, it's not on your radar, or you don't care, or you're not forced to care, it's not a big concern for you.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I've always said, like, the world will be much better if everybody just realized that everybody is just someone that could have been you living another life. You know, I could have been a blonde hair, blue eyed white chick that was born in Texas. I just so happened to be born here. It's just like it's just so silly the way people, how we look at different people, you look different, or you're gay, or you're this, and how we're all the same. We all came from the same fucking person, going back to the whole mitochondrial Eve and life started in Africa and all that, and everything has spread out from there. And it's just so silly how we're one human race. We're one race of people, and just this constant bickering and fighting between one another is just it's fucking horrible. It's sad that we still live in a world where race matters and sexuality matters. Like, there's much more important shit in the world than what one another look like or who you sleeping with and all that. It's just Well, shit's a mess.
Well, that's the exact reason that we have, that we focus so much on this sort of shit, because we need that distraction.
Yeah.
We need entertainment to be able to cloud the real important stuff that's going on, that's life or death sort of shit. The things that people are literally, some genocides popping up, and we really don't give a shit, because guess what's coming up next? Entertainment.
Yeah.
For that exact reason. Which, speaking of which, by the way, I don't know if you heard this, but apparently, I didn't know Robin Thicke broke up with Paula some shit, that Brazilian chick.
Oh, no, she's black and white. Paula Patton?
No. She's apparently, I thought she was Puerto Rican and something.
I think she's black and white.
Either which way, she was a baddie. Anyway, so apparently they're talking shit about him because he's in concerts, like, really preaching about forgiveness and I think, you know, trying to say how we should forgive our family and da da da. So he must have fucked up bad. I mean, as if an R&B star wouldn't be getting a shitload of tang.
He did. And see, the thing about it is that he's been openly doing stuff. Like, there was a Instagram picture that had him at a concert with his hands like half
on the chick booty.
Ass,
yeah.
Like, you know, and he's been out like in public with pictures floating up and down the internet and things like that with all these different women and things like that. So, you know, she's like, hey, I've had enough. You know, this is it. And it's just one of those things where now he's crying his sad song, and it's one of those things. Whatever you choose to do in your house, hey, she could have been cool with it. She'd be like, whatever you do, just don't put it out in public. You know, it's just one of those things. As a woman, that's very embarrassing to see your husband on, you know, Instagram, tonguing somebody or his fingers up somebody's crack of their ass.
Yeah.
And you're like, word, now I gotta look at my girlfriends. They're like, lost without you. Mm-hmm. He ain't
exactly.
Lost.
Like, bitch, what are you doing?
And it's the whole thing, because if it was the other way around, and if it was Robin Thicke at home, and if Paula Patton was the one that was out there, you know, with dudes grabbing on her booty and all that, he'd be feeling the same exact fucking way. And so, yeah, there's certain people who are in certain open relationships, if you will, where it's like, just don't fucking bring that shit out. Don't let everybody know that bullshit that's going on. And yeah, he started wilding out.
You can't be a married man and be an R&B star, or any. I mean, really, honestly, being.
Because they're talking about love, and them women are bringing that love and on your way. Yeah. You want it or not, sometimes.
But I will say, though, just Robin Thicke, though, he is that dude. To me, he is the white Jesus of R&B, just because, I don't know, I'm Robin Thicke over Justin Timberlake. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. See, and I'm the other way. I fucks with JT, man. I fucks with JT. That's my dude. I just, that's my dude. I fucks with him.
Because Timberland makes him sound hot, but I'm just saying, though, as far as, I don't know, maybe because I just had too many personal events happen with Robin Thicke in the background. It seems like a Surefire bet.
Your heart is attached to it. I understand.
It is. He talked about not wanting to be lonely. I didn't want to be lonely, so I wasn't lonely. So then it worked, and I'm laughing.
He was singing just to you. You was like, I get that, brother. I get it.
I put the hand out like this, trying to touch it. You know, trying to touch God.
Me and you on one accord. We on one accord. I feel it.
Oh, that's funny. Speaking of someone else that we're linked up with, everybody who fucks with the IBHM podcast, and actually my mic is jacked up. Can y'all hear that?
I hear you. You're just on one side, but I hear you, though.
I'm pretty sure it sounds better once we actually get to the... No one's on mute, so, I mean, it'll probably sound better in the end. No part of... Okay. Well, you're just bringing up a topic. Okay, so Kendrick Lamar's working on a Good Kid, Mad City movie?
I'm glad. I love that album. It's one of my favorite albums. I've listened to Kendrick's music prior to the quote-unquote official album. So, to me, I'm a huge fan of his, a big fan of his. He's one of my favorite artists. And when I was listening to Good Kid, Mad City, I was like, oh my gosh, this could literally be a movie. Cause he told a story from beginning to end. And it's one of those things where it's one of the few albums that I can put on, push play, and just not skip. Not go away and be like, I don't like this song, I don't like that song. And it's just one of those things where I fucks with him, and I fucks with him hard. And it's just one of those things where I really support him. I haven't got a chance to see him live, but everybody that's gone to see him live says that his concerts are off the chain. I was so, I think it was like the Grammys, the Oscars, whatever the musical thing, I think it's the Grammys, when he went on with Red Hot, I want to say Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Was it the Super Bowl that he was, no, I'm thinking of something else.
Super Bowl was it with Bruno Mars and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I almost said a Grammy.
He did do an award show where, maybe? Yeah, I think it was, because that's where Macklemore showed a shit on everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it was the Grammys.
Yeah, I want to say that Grammys, and it was just one of those things where he just, it's something about him and his energy, and I'm older than him, so it was just something about seeing somebody come up and just wreck the buildings in hip-hop, you know, but like, I'm here, I'm from the other, because when it comes to music, East Coast, West Coast, I don't get into that. If you're good, you're good. If you're wacky, you're good.
Exactly.
If I like you, I don't. It has nothing to do. It's ignorant down south music that I don't fuck with. So, you know, it has nothing to do with your location. I just like good music.
Yeah. And that's the reason that Kendrick album was just phenomenal. And I do consider it, that was like the greatest, one of the greatest hip hop albums of the past 10 years. Like, he really had a point. He had a story, and he told it from beginning, middle to end, and it was a movie.
My favorite parts of the story was the fact those when, you know, I remember him crying, "You shot my brother! You shot my brother!" from the hardcore street aspects of what happens to him trying to get with Shireen so he can get it in. He told it all. He told the whole story.
Yeah, I want to see Shireen, because Shireen looked like she got a lot going on.
Trouble.
I'm scared. I have a feeling that she ugly as hell, and he doesn't. He just wanted. He couldn't let it go though. He was so hooked by it. Maybe she's a ghetto princess and ghetto superstar.
I'm going more for ghetto princess. I got a feeling that she's gonna have a fat ass.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be one of them things that's why they got you beating you up. Talking about, exactly. You hit my Shireen.
You see that ass? I can't let you have it. I can't let you have that.
Shireen,
another nigga here at the door for you. Open it. Watch my show.
You gonna tell me where your mama's from or where your daddy is?
Oh goodness, yeah, that was real.
I love that album, y'all. Love that
where
album.
Where your grandmama stay? Oh, that's real. Like
where your grandmama stay? Where your daddy stay? Or where your mama stay?
I know. Yeah. I'm excited because he's working on his new album. It's supposed to come out in September. So, if it's anything like Section 80 was phenomenal, Good Kid, Mad City was phenomenal. If he keeps going in this direction, he is going to be one of the legends in hip hop. This kid is phenomenal.
Yo, when you said you listened to Kendrick's previous stuff, did you ever listen to my favorite track off of Section 80? And I think people kind of ignored it because it was kind of a short song and it didn't. I don't know. It might not resonate with most people. The Hold Up.
Oh, I love that one. The Hold Up.
Story about about being in a fucking airplane, being a terrorist, which you know is my favorite thing. And he painted it. And I'm like, ooh, I'm so jealous. Let the map sound. It was being so open. I loved it. But,
yeah, so I love Kendrick, and I'm hoping this album this movie does come out, and I think that'll be phenomenal. And they could honestly, they don't even need to like rewrite a script. They could just take the direction that the album went and just turn that into a visual. It could be one long fucking 2-hour music video, and it would be fucking phenomenal. It would be phenomenal. So, I'm excited about it.
I'm excited, and also what a lot of people fail to realize is like, when people come out with their very, very first quote unquote official album, however old they're alive, that's that years of experience.
Yes.
So this is like 20 something years of experience all tightened up.
Yes.
And that's why it's so grabbing. That's why it pulls people in. It's not like a year, year and a half, 2 years. Because a lot of people fail to realize, most great artists or any artist that have any longevity takes breaks. Adele.
Yeah.
They Blige, like anybody that has any longevity will take 3, 4, 5 years off between albums. Even Beyonce sometimes takes a few years off. That's what you need to do, because it takes a few years of like experience to pour into an album to make it worth it. You know, you can push it out every year, but odds are it stuff will eventually sound the same. Not unless you just work with phenomenal people. everything and got like the best writers in the world, everything will begin to sound the same.
I know, because Jay-Z had put it the best. He was saying how Reasonable Doubt was his best album, because he was like, it took 26 years for him to write that album. That was 26 years worth of experiences. And then once every album after that was like every 8 months. And so it's like you only experience so much shit within 8 months. And then you, and just like Karen has said, you know, it starts to sound the same. You need to take that break. You need to get new experiences and experience new things and all that. And then you could come out and you could have something else to say. And that's the reason why you have like, even like Nas is like that. Nas takes like 2 to 3 years off between each album, because you just, you got to experience some life to have some new shit to talk about, or you're going to be saying the same shit you said on the last CD.
Well, that, and Nas is trying to get himself out of the stupid ass Def Jam contract that Jay-Z fucked him in. But speaking of shit just sounding a whole lot alike and just being repetitive, we're mentioning Rick Ross, and hopefully it'll go into the next story with 50 that you have coming up. But Rick Ross's album, mind you, he is as fake as they come or whatever, yeah. But he has such great energy. And I guess this isn't so much of a good hip hop review, as just as far as it shit sounds the same. If you like the old Rick Ross, if you like the current Rick Ross, you'll like his current album. Like, you're just saying the old same shit in a very swaggerific sort of way. You know, and all I can do is hate, because it sounds
really
good.
And Rick Ross is a good example of him and Young Jeezy are two artists that they say the same thing on every CD, but they got good ear for beats, and that's the reason why they're as big as they are, is because they got those A&R ears.
I mean, the production value and the phenomenal. Beats are really good, yeah.
Yeah,
and it has all the chimes and all the whistles and the flares and the thunder shows me when no, I'm saying though, but the sound effects let me know when to shake my ass, and like, it gives me all the proper cues that I need to get turned in the club with everybody else. It's kind of like what do you got to say about it, Karen? What do you think? Do you listen to that, or is that too south?
And the thing now, Young Jeezy, I don't mess with it. Like, it's, you know, it's just one of them things. I'm gonna go, I think for me, because I'm old, I'm tired of youngs. Change your name. When you gonna get too old?
You a grown ass man.
Yes, it's like, where's the cap?
36. Time to change.
It's time to be old Jeezy, middle aged Jeezy. You know, we need to bump it up a little bit. Rick Ross is fake.
Yeah.
But when he gets on that mic, it's like, ugh. I'm like, you know what? I believe you. And as soon as it goes up, I go, dying.
Yeah.
But while I'm in the zone with him, me and him could rock. Yeah, you did. You sold that crack. That crack was there.
Yeah.
It was there.
You did.
The residue is on your fingers.
Yes.
I mean, I applaud any man that can be without a shirt letting his titties hang. Like, God bless you, bro. Like, you confident. You way more confident than I.
And he has no shame in his game. Like, so I give him props and kudos, because there are a lot of man titties out there that men are keeping hidden. Men, please, do not be ashamed of your man.
I'm so ashamed of myself.
Let them hang.
I know.
Having a
problem. That shit is funny. And actually, that does bring up the next thing. Because
I don't know about letting it out. Come out the closet, everybody. Show your cut.
Yeah, I don't know what 50 Cent is back to his old ways, as he hinted on Instagram that Rick Ross, P. Diddy, and Steve Stout are gay.
Yeah. This man is a man with connections, though. How, like in his story, talks about, and I remember when there was a Khaled beef, and he was talking to DJ Khaled's mama. Getting details, getting dirt, do a real investigative work, women work.
As much as a lot of people didn't like, what's up?
No, I see Karen's face when I said women's work.
No. I was just listening to y'all talk about 50 Cent. A question: when is the last time 50 Cent has been relevant? When is the last time he's actually put out an album or a CD that anybody ever cares about? He made his money from vitamin water. He like tapped in early and like a bazillionaire for that.
Yeah.
Why are you still trying to make yourself relevant? 50 Cent, you should be $1.50 now. You are gone 50 Cent.
Yeah. Hey, his last album was Curtis, right? Or was something after? No, Before I Self-Destruct?
Before I Self-Destruct.
And it was terrible.
It was horrible.
It was. I feel so bad.
It was horrible. And 50, I guess that's kind of where, and my mic is out. Hold up, wait. Y'all.
I can hear you.
I can't hear myself at all. Yeah, let me switch mics.
Okay. Karen, as far as 50, what's the last 50 album that you actually liked? If anything, maybe even buy.
What is it? The Die Young? What is it?
Get Rich Before Die Trying? Or Get Rich or Die Trying? Back in 2003?
It's, like I said, it's been a hot minute since I really rocked. And even when I think about 50, I always rock his old stuff. Like, I never rock any of his new stuff because it's bad, it's terrible, and it ain't for me. If it's something that the Kitty Boppers love, y'all can have all of that. Any day you want.
He's trying to get the Kitty Boppers to rap with them. Even they ain't trying to fuck with them. Can you imagine it's been 11 years since that album? 2003, I think, right? Is when Get Rich or Die Trying came out?
Yeah.
2002. Yeah, so roughly around that time.
8 Mile came out. Cause I remember he tried to piggyback off the 8 Mile soundtrack with the Wanks.
Well, no, I guess because that's where this whole 50 Cent thing started from is because Steve Stout, I guess in an interview, had said the same thing. When was the last time that 50 Cent was relevant? Like, it's been a minute, and 50 took offense to that, and I guess went and saw him at a New York Knicks game, and then 50 came out afterwards and posted these pictures of, and it is some suspect pictures, I will admit, of 50, or excuse me, P. Diddy and Steve Stout hugging on each other, and Rick Ross and Diddy looking like they're almost making out with each other. And, yeah, that's how 50 gets down.
There was love in the club, someone caught him in the moment, and that's what happens, you know.
And I guess for me, It's something about men, sex, and sexuality, especially when it comes to rapping, where people, if they want to believe it or not, they are gay rappers, you know, and it's one of those things where it's amazing how if this is their sexuality, it doesn't matter, but it's just one of those things is because of rapping, people got to be hard, they got to be, show their testosterone, they got to, I'm hard, I'm tough, you know, I don't want to be, you know, no gay dude.
I'm pretty
sure.
At
the end of the day, it doesn't matter, and it's not a representation of your manhood.
And that's the whole thing, because there has been rumors for a long time that there is a lot of homosexual rappers, there's gay rappers out there, it's only logical with how many rappers there has been that there's a lot of gay rappers out there, but hip-hop has been homophobic for so long, and the whole you gotta be male machismo and you gotta be a thug and you gotta be a gangster and this and this and that, and so it's only a matter of time before that it comes out.
One thing that really scared me is because, you know, as much as I, you know, call gays fags and things like that, they're my homies. They're my homies, and I one of my so offensive. Anyways, one of my faggot homies was telling me that a lot of the guys he sleeps with are like hardcore cholo gangsters, like thug, you know, thug nasties kind of thing. And that kind of scares me, because if that ever resonates, or if that ever crosses over into like hardcore gangster music, I'm gonna shit myself in fright when I hear in the ass real hard, in the real hard. That's just gonna scare me. Well, queers everywhere just letting off rage.
And I think the thing about it is that when we talk about the Grammys and Kendrick Lamar and Macklemore, it's just one of those things where a lot of people was talking about Macklemore. And the thing about Macklemore is that I give him kudos. He worked hard. I don't know why people just want to disregard all his hard work into it. Now, if you like him, the album or not, that's irrelevant. It took a lot of hard work to do what he's done. And because he has the what people call a gay anthem or a gay theme song, a lot of people flock, because that's a market. Like, people, you can ignore all you want to. That is a market.
A huge market.
And this is one of those things where anybody, me and Roger talked about this, anybody at any time could rap about this. You know how many times Kanye has been called gay, a faggot, or a homo for wearing a kilt on live on television? Yep. Like, Jay-Z, that's, like, these rappers at any period of time could have done it and done a lot better job than Macklemore, but they chose to step away from it.
They chose not to do it.
They made this option, and he filled that void, and people flocked to it. And to me, there's nothing wrong. It's a market out there, and people will flock to somebody that's quote-unquote speaking to them.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. There has not been a vocal, like, you have the Lady Gagas and the Shares and the Madonnas, who they have a huge homosexual fan base, if you will, but you hadn't had an anthem, a song like that, Same Love. to be able to have, like, that's my anthem, that's my song, this person is speaking for me, not just this is a market. And so, yeah, he opened up the way. Yeah, somebody could have did this a long time ago.
Look, do you ever go to casinos? Do you ever? I'm not a big casino person. I know it's usually for old folk who put going to the penny machines. But it's kind of like working on this one machine, putting all your coins into it, finally saying "fuck it," you give up, and here comes the next random motherfucker puts a coin.
Bobby Moore came through that quarter, and there he hit the jackpot.
There you go.
Yes!
Ding ding. But yeah, that shit is fucking crazy, and I guess on to other news, heading over to sports. Anybody who follows Mitts, oh, what's up? You have something else?
Well, I mean, I figure we're on the whole gay thing, and you know, and I figure since I'm gay bashing, one thing that I will say is that, and I'm a big fan, and I don't know how I felt at this time. I'm a big Freddie Mercury fan now. Like, up. Like, I wish, like, I want to be bulimic so I can be real skinny and fucking and be real flamboyant like fucking Freddie Mercury. That motherfucker was a man. Well, I mean, that and, you know, gay sex. But I'm just saying, though, but Freddie Mercury, though, he was a talent. He wrote, he performed, he sang, he did it all. He danced, he did tricks. He was just a shit. He was, to me, the ultimate man because he gave it and he took it.
Yeah.
Champ. Anyways, and I made a joke about it that if God ever had a top five fag list, he'd probably be number one. I just like him a lot. I love him. You know, he passed away. Rest in peace. But Adam Lambert, who, if you remember from American Idol fame, started doing shows with Queen because he was, of course, another one of those guys that was obsessed with Freddie Mercury like myself, but he actually, you know, took it to the next level singing. He's also a flamboyant kind of openly gay person, which of course hate on him because, you know, I love Freddie, and to be a Freddie, that's a big deal. And he's actually touring with them now, which, I mean, Queen isn't relevant, but they're being alive not only through the fame of Freddie Mercury, but now this guy who wants to embody him. And yeah, they're on tour. That's just my bit of hating. I wanted to mention some talking about gays.
He hates. I know.
Do you guys like me? I mean, do
black people listen to Queen?
Because I'm not even supposed to listen to Queen, but my daddy, I think, was a little gay because he kept on blaring that shit like nobody's business, and it just
the only Queen song I know is they did Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's the only song of Bohemian Rhapsody. That's the only song I know.
And then every drunk hockey game plays We Are the Champions, no?
Oh, that's Queen too. I didn't know that. Okay, so now I have heard some of their stuff.
One of the best songs.
I was. That's about it for me. We Are the Champions. You know, that's as far as
we are the champions.
Yeah, go ahead, sweetie.
Hold on. I was just rambling. No, go. What were you gonna say about it?
I think for me, that's about as close as I get to it. And it's just one of those things where I've actually heard it, like, at the hockey game. Like, I actually went to a hockey game one time, which was the coolest experience ever. And for
hockey's
those
fun.
That's black, right, never been to a hockey game, it is so much fun. I didn't know if I was going to have a good time. Actually, the tickets were free. And we was like, you want to go to the hockey game? Yeah. You ever been to a hockey game yet? No. You ice skating? No, I don't know how to ice skate, but we ain't ice skating, so let's go. So we had a great time. And, yeah, we heard that song.
Yeah. It's one of those notorious songs, and I will say, to me, just how Vanilla Ice, the great groundbreaking hip hop artist that he is, you know, doing Ice Baby, let me tell you, Queen, though, they really are, though, I want to say hip hop trendsetters, because they even have a song called Fat Bottom Girls, like, Fat Bottom Girls make the rocking world go. Anyways, to me, it was the equivalent of Bitch Shake Your Ass. It was one of the starting things.
It was the clean version of Bitch Shake Your Ass? Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Fat Bottom Girls. They do make the rocking world go round. I don't know. But yeah, Queen, Freddie.
That goes to show that shaking your ass crosses all cultures.
Yeah, I know. It goes back to the, what was it, Chubby Checker? Was that his name? They did the doing the twist?
Yeah.
It's all, people are shaking their ass all the time. It's just, we've gotten more and more open about what exactly we're telling them to do.
And how it does it. Like, don't forget, Elvis Presley was provocative with his pelvis thrust. Like, how dare you shake your cock at me and make me do this? But it was groundbreaking.
Oh, this shit is funny. And speaking of being groundbreaking, I'll go ahead and segue this one. Ronda Rousey, the MMA fighter, recently came out and said that she can beat Floyd Mayweather in an MMA fight.
Is that her way of trying to get up on him?
I don't know. Maybe she won a brother in her life. That might be what it is.
White babies just throw themselves at brothers. So how dare you? And ignore me.
But yeah, she recently came out, and I didn't even read the report. But let me bring it up real quick. She said, I wouldn't even stand up. I wouldn't even be anywhere near him. I would just do like a little army crawl over there, and he would have to run away. I would just be skirting after him like the one dude in Bloodsport that was doing the whole monkey crawl fight system. Kind of sounds weird, though. She's talking about fighting a black dude and talking about monkey crawls and shit. I don't know. That's a little racist. But she said that basically, yeah, she kind of semi-challenged him to a fight. And honestly, I don't know. She might be able to take him. Ronda Rousey bad. I don't know.
Now, yeah, she's actually really good. Roderick actually interviewed her on one of our Medium talks and actually talked to her and things like that. And so it's just one of those things where that's a bad bitch. I'm not even gonna lie. Like she is awesome. She just had a fight like last weekend where she like beat somebody last week, and they were talking about one of the fights, and it's one of those things where they like this because MMA is different from boxing. Like it's like not the same.
Yeah,
you know, it's just one of those things. Like if he was on her platform, she would probably beat him, but if he was on, if she was on his platform, it might be a story. Yeah, it's
different rules
because the rules are different. You can't leg lock. You can't. You don't. You know, when I watch MMA, they be like, have a bout, have a, you know, the black belt in Chi-Kwai and Chi-Kwan-Do and Chi-Kwan-Do, and I'm like, well, I don't know any of that shit.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it must be bad because you got a black belt in. As far as I know, that's as high as it goes.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I think that it will never happen.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where it would be interesting.
Would it be interesting? And that's the one thing, like the UFC finally, they fixed their image over the years, because when they first came out, that was the point of it. It's just these random fights. They would have a 450-pound sumo wrestler fighting a 180-pound judo guy, and like a lot of people didn't take the UFC seriously because it was like, okay, this is just fucking chaos. But they started to take the whole route of like with boxing and with actually having different weight classes and different things like that, and UFC has taken off, and it is a phenomenal sport. And so Floyd Mayweather is someone who, if he came up as a MMA person instead of a boxer, he would have been just as great as an MMA fighter. And yeah, but they're in two completely different fields, and so in an MMA fight she probably would win, but in a boxing match you can't beat Floyd. There's a reason why they call him Money Mayweather. You can't beat the man. And Pacquiao is still running. I'm just putting that out there. Pacquiao is still running from the man. I'm just saying.
Hey.
It's funny. You Mexicans love Pacquiao.
No, I actually don't. You know what? Let me tell you something. I'm not that. Because if anything, I hate my people very much, and I judge him very harshly because of how well that I do know. But I will say, though, I've only took a liking to Pacquiao because of his little evangelism kind of thing. Maybe Mayweather.
Either which way, though, that's the reason why.
Oh, did you go out? No. You're posing.
Something?
Oh, there you go. You're coming back. Your pitch was just there. I know, yeah. We learned the last episode. We got to watch certain words that we say.
Keywords.
Yeah, you bring up Jesus, the Illuminati, or the NSA on this show, and our fucking internet feed drops for some reason. So, yeah, we got to watch out about that. We on some list somewhere. I know that.
Same subject, yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
black Mexican.
Let's bring some racist shit back.
So, actually, speaking of racist shit, the NFL is talking about banning the N-word.
Which one?
The N-word. The NFL is saying that if anybody uses the N-word on the field, it's a 15-yard penalty. That is the dumbest shit I've ever fucking heard.
Trinidad James would owe so much money playing in the NFL. Really? My
N-words. So, yeah, so I guess they're trying to pass this law going into next year. They're adopting a 15-yard penalty. And then if the guy gets caught using the N-word a second time, they're going to eject him from the game while playing.
Complaining about that, right?
Oh, wait, I got a commercial playing in the background.
Okay.
And turn it off. Okay.
But I'm asking, though, so this is what we're actually playing. This is not the commentators who are talking shit about it. That's okay. We can be racist all we want.
Yeah, you can be all. You can be racist in the commentator, but why are you playing? Yeah.
So while we're playing, we all testosterone popping, and you know what I'm saying? And we hate this motherfucker, and we want to throw a slow ride, and we can't do that? That's not fair. And how can you even
the thing with sports that I've always found so silly, they did the same thing with basketball and with you can't be too amped after you dunk, and in the football you can't celebrate too much in the end zone. You have these guys who are out there, they're out there performing in front of millions upon millions of people. Their testosterone is going, you're just amped up, and you're like, be professional while you're out there. That is the dumbest fucking shit. Like, these, we're paying them to be over amped and we're paying them to be super excited and moving and all that, but then, hey, you gotta be careful what you say while you're out there. You gonna say something, Karen?
Go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think for me, I completely disagree with you. This is something that my husband talked about. For some reason, when it comes to sports, people lower the standards. They're not dumb. Yeah. They're not ignorant. It's just one of those things where this is their job. They pay you to perform a job. Yeah. And my thing is this, out of all the stuff they might, when have you ever heard anybody say this? This is a non-issue. This is an issue out of nothing. If they were really serious about this, you need to ban the words like faggot. You need to ban the word. You like if you're going to ban slurs across the board, just this one word. I think that the only reason why this became an issue was because of Riley Cooper. And I think instead of people looking at Riley Cooper and say Riley Cooper is a racist, they want to turn around and say, well, black people can say it. Black people are not the issue here. The issue is that why did he say it? Not why are black people saying it? Yeah, and then you have ESPN wasting time having 3 hours of TV talking about the N-word. It's one of those things where at the end of the day, especially in the black community, people have made their minds up whether or not they're going to say it or whether or not they're against it or not. You are not changing our minds. And it's just one of those things where, and that's just the real realization of it. It's just one of those things. It's like, if you want to say it, why do you want to say it? And when you start asking people these questions, people really don't want to answer these questions. What I've realized and what I've learned over time, honestly, the root of the thing is that white people don't like to be told what to do at the end of the day. And it's like, oh, I can't say the word nigga. That's what I want to say. But what you fail to realize, you can say it, and they say it all the time. Yeah. They just might not openly and publicly say it, but you do say it. Exactly. You have the right to say anything you want to in our country. That is just one beautiful thing about our country. But just know when the words come out of your mouth, you have to live with the consequences and the repercussions of the words that come out of your mouth. And you have to deal with anybody that say they won't sponsor you or support you. And my thing is this, and you cannot do this in any other working environment. Why is the NFL above having the same standards that you do on your 9-to-5?
That is a good point.
Argument, I don't want to hear that. You cannot walk in your job and look at your boss and be like, what's up, nigga? You will be
nigga.
That happened when I got fired.
Or walk in there and just start breakdancing and shit, talking and calling everybody slurs. It doesn't work like this. I wish you could, but you know, hey, the law said you can't. So it's just one of those things where I don't see why we lower the standard because the athletes.
I don't look at it from like a lowering the standard thing. I just look at it from the standpoint of you have these guys who they're out there and your testosterone is running. You're in a much higher energy environment. And I could see when guys get amped and they do something. Yeah, nigga. I could see when it happens just being over fucking amped or whatnot. But I do agree with that it is a job. And so, these guys should be held to some type of professional etiquette because that is still your job. We're paying you millions upon millions of dollars, and so I do agree. I do see where you're coming from with that.
What people fail to realize when it comes to sports, people fail to realize a lot of the people that are professional athletes have been playing football since Pop Warner, which means they've been playing football since
their entire life.
Young is old, okay? And their whole life has been organization, following rules, following protocols, doing what you've been told. Like the structure of football. Come in, curfews, you have all this structure. And why all of a sudden when it comes to this, you don't want to have structure to this? Well, to me, there's no excuse when the whole concept is a team sport. Follow the rules. Wear your uniform. You can't do this. You can't do that. Like, everything has these structures around it. But for some reason, people get emotional about their sports, and they don't want their sports to be They don't want the reality. Put it like this. When people watch sports as a way to escape from reality. And when reality creeps into their sports, people have a tendency to get offended. But the reality is, reality will creep into your sports because that's the way the world goes. And so that's why a lot of people are upset about the gay athlete, because they're like, hey, now I got to think about gays.
I got to think of gay people when I'm watching football now.
But all these rules.
Yeah, all these rules and regulations. But what they fail to realize, look at it like this. You got a dude crouched down with a dude underneath another dude's balls reaching for a ball. You got these tight-ass pants backing each other on the ass. You got them all on top of each other kicking and balls and shit. But yet you want to come around and talk about gay stuff. Let's keep this real. If you really want to be realistic about the sport itself, but yet you can't get people to go there because they don't want to deal with the reality of that. Yeah.
And no, I've always said that because I'm more of a basketball fan than a football fan. But it is true that like a lot of things that are considered quote unquote masculine is very homosexual in nature. And just like you said, the whole thing with football, you're literally paying to watch a bunch of men in tights hop on top of one another and get all just rough and gruff and all on there. And that is the whole thing of now that there's a openly gay person or whatnot. A lot of people, they don't want to, I'm watching football to get away from all those gay politics and all that. And I think it was Deion Sanders who had said it, that there's always been gay football players. Like, once again, people just have people have this idea that like gay people just popped up like 10 years ago and oh my god, we gotta control all this. There has been gay people since the beginning of time. Just get over it. Some people enjoy people of their same sexuality. Like, get over it, America. Just
get over it, America. And this is one of those things where they're just going to be afraid. Somebody going to smack them on the ass. And they're going, I think I like that.
Yeah, and fuck it. I think it's Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan puts it the best. He's, if you're a man who is offended or scared of homosexuality or whatnot, you're just scared that dicks taste delicious. That's the reason why you act like that. You're so, like, keep those gay people away, because you're just so afraid that you may slip up, get drunk, give a guy a blowjob, and you may fucking enjoy it. So, just people are fucking silly. Just silly. That's all I can put saying. But yeah, but going back to what you said earlier, Karen, I do agree with, like, the reason why this N-word thing is becoming such a big thing within the NFL, because you do have white people don't like when they're told what they can and can't do. And just like it goes back to the Paula Deen thing, when the whole Paula Deen thing popped up, it turned into a whole, well, black people say the N-word, why can't we say it? That's not even the point of what the, that had nothing to do with it. It got turned around to, well, if your black people gonna keep saying it, we should be able to say it. If we can't say it, you guys need to stop saying it. It's just, it's the beach ball to distract us from what is really happening in the world with Venezuela burning to the ground and the shit in the Ukraine. It's like, oh, some real shit's going on in another part of the world. Let's talk about gay people and the N-word. Let's talk about this again for the 1,000th time. So
the beach ball looks pretty and it's a lot more entertaining than thinking about the reality of things that are happening in other places. A lot of times these things are a distraction from the reality in the NFL. You got an NFL player that knocked his fiance out, got a video of him dragging her out of an elevator, but we don't want to talk about this issue. We don't want to talk about, you know, the way football players treat women. We don't want to talk about spousal abuse. We don't want to talk about, you know, NFL players killing people in car accidents. We don't want to talk about that because that will bring reality to your sports. Exactly. But what we talk about is some shit at the end of the day that really don't matter and really is not a problem. Odds are they're not going to do a flag. And if they do a flag, it's not going to make or break a game. Most of them have enough common sense to know that they don't want to lose no money and they don't want to be the reason why their team loses. So like that ball is prettier than the reality of the other shit. You know how glad they was when this shit happened so they wouldn't have to talk about the video that's been floating around the internet with a dude dragging a half-dead woman that he done uppercut and punched?
Yep. It's like, oh, we got some new shit to talk about. Let's go ahead and let's talk about this shit. But that is the reality of the matter. People don't want to face reality. So go ahead and give me a distraction real quick. Let me talk about some unreal shit real quick. Some that doesn't even really pertain or really bother anybody. Let's not talk about these real issues that are going on in the world. And Popo's taking calls during the show. So unprofessional.
No problem. Because the reality is that it's easier. It's easier.
Yeah.
And most people don't like to talk or don't like to discuss or don't like to bring these things up because they make people feel uncomfortable. Because because at the end of the day, it's supposed to be a macho sport. But yet, if we start talking about these things and bringing things up, all of a sudden, people begin to make excuses for people versus looking at the actions of what they're doing and saying you are accountable for your actions and you should be held accountable for your actions when you have athletes raping. I think one former NFL football player has like all these women coming out the woodworks that he's been charged about raping. And it's just one of the things, well, they all across the country, all these women are coming out, he raped me too. Well, you know what? I think he just likes to rape. But it's just one of those things where that's just your thing. You just don't get permission. Who gives a damn about permission? Come here, girl. You know, it's just one of those things.
You want this.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You're going to get this whether you want it or not.
You're going to take this dick.
Yeah, you're going to take this dick. But that is. And the thing about it is that those things are things that people don't want to talk about. But
because
that's
it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah, but that's the reality, you know, of it. And that's one thing I can say, something y'all talking about before, that I think that's one reason why people listen to podcasts, because say it's an escape away from reality.
That's what it is. It's honestly podcasting, people who drink, who smoke weed, who just a lot of this shit is it's an escape from reality. Because to be 100% honest, reality sucks a lot of the time, and all of us want some type of distraction. Everybody hates being in traffic for 2 hours a day, getting to and from work, and being at a job that they fucking hate for 8 to 10 hours a day with a boss that doesn't fucking respect them, and just all this bullshit making somebody else rich and all that. All this is a distraction. It's a distraction to take us away from the monotony, the bullshit, the drag of what is life.
I kind of feel bad next. I kind of wanted to bring up, and I'm not too sure if you heard it. I don't have any link to it, but apparently they found that there was some kind of disease, some sort of virus that apparently was frozen in Siberia, if you can believe that shit.
Frozen.
I don't know how that shit works. I really misheard this, how this happened. No, there's this thing, this virus, just that like apparently we can tell that it's over 30,000 years old.
Oh, okay.
So it's one of those sorts of shits, and
I don't want that to get re-released, because that shit gonna kill a lot of people, like the Black Plague.
Exactly. No, those were my thoughts. So I'm wondering, like, with people traveling around, with things kind of be taken back and forth, with something like that just being recognized to where we bring it up and it's news. I mean, it can be so easily for it to travel. I mean, I don't know.
And honestly, that's the thing that goes back to when the Pilgrims came out here to America. They were killing a bunch of the Native Americans, but what a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the Native Americans died because of all the fucking diseases that they brought from Europe. It shit was disgusting in Europe. They didn't have sanitation. They didn't have a sewer system. They threw shit on the ground. You walked in shit and all that. Then they took all these slaves from Africa and then they packed them up in boats and they were having them shitting and pissing on each other. And then they brought all that shit over to the healthy Native Americans who had never experienced any of these diseases, and it wiped them the fuck out. And that's the whole thing, is there's many reports that they try to portray the whole Native Americans as they were savages. And it was only a couple million of them, so don't get mad over. They were savages, and it wasn't that many of them. There's a lot of reports that there was at least 100 million Native Americans in America. It wasn't just like tribes here and there. No, the entire North America was full of Native Americans, and when the Europeans brought them diseases over, they were dropping like flies because their immune system couldn't fight it.
And we cornered them into casinos, you know.
Don't complain about any of that shit, because I gave you a reservation in that casino over there. You take that, you put up with it.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't talk about how fucked up a lot of the reservations are and how a lot of our laws don't apply on these reservations.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of us aren't even allowed. Yeah, I guess that's what they said. They said, hey, y'all take y'all spears and all that going out
hunting.
That
shit beyond y'all and Weston.
Better get them peace pipes.
Keep it, yeah, keep it between your two tents.
No, but I have heard that, though, that there are certain reservations where there is, like, rape issues where, like, women are getting raped, but you, they're on different laws because they're not technically part of the America because it's a reservation and all that. So the cops won't go to help these women. So if you have a patriarchy where you got some fucked up man running a reservation, they're raping and they're doing whatever they can, and those women don't have protection because they're not under the same laws that we are under. It's a fucked up world we live in.
Start a business. It's crazy. Just drag them on over there.
If they want to do this right, man, you got casinos. Get these hoes to working in the casinos, man.
That's how you do it.
Make your money. You ain't got to
go inside the casino.
Yeah.
You pumping in oxygen, give them a light, awake and alert. I mean,
yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, get you a brothel, man.
They conscious?
That shit is wild, though.
It's International Women's Day.
Yes, even like this. Even hoes are ladies too, y'all.
Exactly. You gotta love these hoes. You gotta love them. And speaking of not loving these hoes, I didn't even fully read this story, but this came across my attention. A female teacher was spared from jail for having sex with her 16-year-old student after prom party because she wrote an apology letter to his mom. So apparently, a 10th grade English teacher at a Houston high school was managed to avoid going to jail despite admitting to have a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student. Nikki Swartz, who was 25, pleaded guilty to having an inappropriate relationship with a student and was sentenced
to... How are teachers that young? You just asking for trouble. When you're 25 here in Arizona, you're barely allowed to rent a U-Haul. You know what I'm saying? It takes 6 years.
But you're going to put her in this classroom with all these horny ass boys going through puberty and wonder why some shit's happening.
Yeah, and for me, y'all, I think the biggest issue with that is that teachers that teach now don't have the love of teaching. So years ago when teachers taught, they had the love for teaching, so they kind of respected that student. No child. They actually went to school to teach. They were properly trained. Now, because you can't keep teachers, or teachers go through like the teaching stuff, do they 1 or 2 years and bounce? You are left with these people who I just want a job.
Showing up to get paid.
Yeah, so their standards aren't the same. They don't have the same care. And I don't have a child. But motherfucker, I'm gonna kill you. You fuck my kid.
Yeah.
But this is just me. Male or female, because you are a teacher. You are the person that's in authority.
Yeah.
You have no right to touch my child when my child cannot consent to you. Exactly. I don't care what my child tells you. They have no right to consent to you. And it's one of those things where you are of the age where people will fuck you for free while you messing with children.
With these little kids, yes. And this has been wild because, like, of course, I wasn't watching the news when I was a child, but I don't remember this being this big of an issue like how it has been over the past 10 years. It's just I don't know if maybe it's because we're with social media and with how easy information gets out, but it just seems like it's a lot of teachers fucking students over the past decade. I don't know exactly what it is. But that is fucking horrible. But and the fact that she's not going to jail, as fucked up as it sounds, it's like when I was in high school, where were these teachers that were putting up? Because a couple of these teachers are fucking.
I know, but 90-year-old teachers who I barely could tell if they were alive or not, and apparently these bitches are limber enough to be getting it in with real young, rambunctious, full of vigor.
It does go back to that whole thing that going back to when, we were younger, the teachers were teachers because they wanted to be fucking teachers. It's not because this was their just something to make some money off of. They really wanted to grow up and help these people and raise these damn kids and teach them and all that.
They were stronger back in the day. Nowadays, everyone else is so fucked and emotional and self-depriving and self-loathing that, I think that's the whole thing when it comes to people who go out, trying to fuck, we try to stunt because we're trying to fill the void and we need love and we need to put on that Robin Thicke and do it official. but instead we're trying to get it in and feel a little bit of happiness to fill the big old void.
And I think I think for me the biggest issue that I have is that it's a double standard. Let this be a male and a female. Rules are going to be changed. For some reason when it's the female that has sex with it's still him
it's
having
still
sex.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, but for some reason, it's that double standard where if it's a dude, it's considered creepy. Don't touch my daughter. Yeah, yeah. You know, you need to go to jail. I don't care what kind of letter you write me. You need to go to jail, because it's just one of those things where you inappropriately touch somebody's child,
you took advantage of a child.
Which means this child, you have screwed up their perspective of sex and love and all this stuff. You know, you know, and it's one thing where they might question, am I gay? You know, and if they are, you know, let them come to that on their own conclusion, if that makes sense. Yeah. Don't strip that away. Don't strip that choice of allowing them to grow up into their own sexuality.
Yeah. Let them learn for themselves. Yes, exactly.
Give them
but
that.
Because of the 25. Right. Yeah. Don't force.
I know. I was just looking at the pictures.
But because it was a 25-year-old white woman, it was just considered a public service, and it was okay.
She was she used her white girl superpowers. That's what it comes down to. She used that blonde hair and blue eyes to get out of going to jail. That's exactly what it comes down to.
She got the magical white woman tears. Everything. I thought you knew everything.
Oh, that shit is wild.
I usually do hear choir like. In the background, like the choir, like church, like synths.
Every time you see a
white woman cry, it's like
an angel gets his wings.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, this shit is wild.
But police just don't care, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of.
Order the warrants.
Yeah, I know. I saw this too. This is another article that came up recently, which is kind of fucked up. Apparently, my shit is loading slow. Oh shit! But apparently, Russia Today announced that the U.S. police are starting to have the right to be able to search your home with or without a warrant.
In Russia?
No, in America. Okay. So they didn't announce it out here in America, but it was announced through Russia that. Out here, the Supreme Court has handed the police more power to conduct warrantless house searches. And apparently one of the rules is if like two people are arguing with one another and the cops come and both people say, no, you can't come in, that gives the cops the right to come into your house.
Because two people
said no.
So it makes it suspicious? Because they're in agreement with one another, even though they're arguing?
I guess so.
So two wrongs make a right?
They make a right nowadays. But yeah, it says that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that police may search a home without obtaining a warrant despite the objection of one occupant. If the Octa 3 decision in Fernandez versus California on Tuesday, the court said with law enforcement's ability to conduct warrantless searches after restricting police powers with its 2006 decision on a similar case. In 2009, the Los Angeles Police Department sought suspect Walter Fernandez, believed to have stabbed someone in a violent gang robbery. And when police first arrived at the suspect home, they heard yelling and screaming before Fernandez's living girlfriend answered the door. Apparently, she looked freshly bruised and bloody, and with the infant in hand, according to the argument rehab.
Actually, well, that makes it sense because, like, all right, motherfuckers, you hiding something.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Something is going on.
Yeah. I mean, really, cops have, if they could prove or something without a shadow of a doubt, or they can have any sort of evidence that something's going on, well, then, hey, let's see what the fuck's going on. That's their right, too, honestly. They're above us.
They're the law.
And this is that where it's kind of a gift and a curse, because you have the one side of it like that where if a woman is getting beaten, you want the cops to be able to get there and interject. But then, unfortunately, you have a lot of cops out here who are pieces of shit that they abuse their fucking power. And then now it's like, you know what? I'm going to get in this house. Fuck this warrant. I'm going to kick in your motherfucking door and come in there because I'm a cop and I have the right to do whatever the fuck I want to. So it's one of those shades of gray things. I see, Karen, what were you about to say?
And for me, it's just one of those things when you're dealing with cops, you're talking about their spouses, their husbands, their wives. They can just, you know, let's say that. Separated, they're not together anymore. So I have they have the right to just walk up in your place with your other person that you're with and be like, hey, I thought something was going on here. I have the right to walk up in here. So those are the things that you run against. And then you also have to deal with the right that people are racist. So you have people calling on other people when they was over there fighting. They might not have been fighting, but if you're dealing with that. And it's one of those things where if there's an incident like the one that they're claiming.
Yeah,
you can get a warrant quickly.
Yeah,
you know why people act like if it's that important, you can call, hey, Sergeant, can I go in here? Yeah, all right, the paperwork on the way. Click and go
okay,
in there.
Go in there.
It's just one of those things where, yeah, it is paperwork behind it. Don't get me wrong. But it's just one of those things where I don't want you to have the right to enter somebody's home without their consent. Exactly. You know, because this incident that they're talking about, it does happen. How often it happens, I don't know. But a lot of these rules will be pushed to crack people with drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of these rules will be pushed for people they don't like. People will start racially profiling. Like once you get into, hey, I don't got no checks and balances. I don't have to get shit approved.
Who is there to police the police?
Yeah, it's off of how I feel, not the reality of it. I do not trust this. Yeah, I do understand what you're saying. Yes, if I walk up to the door, something don't look right, yes, the police should have the right to go in there, regardless of what they say. But if it's something where I just feel like busting your door in, we go.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way, you know, because like you give people an inch, they take a mile. So it's like you have to have a check and balance on people. Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, because then what is going to stop the cop from, okay, now I just kicked in your door. I'm going to start walking around in your house and, oh, look, I see some marijuana over there. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and arrest you. I'm going to take you to jail. And you can have these fucking punk ass cops who got a hard on and just fucking randomly fucking with people, because that's the whole thing. It goes back to what is it?
Go back to Training Day. You look at a suspicious ass bitch like Macy Gray looking all nappy headed. You up to something? Let me.
Yes. King Kong ain't got nothing
shit on me, nigga. But it's fucked up because, yeah, you have those cops who are going to take this to the utmost extreme and just start fucking with people. And you have the whole thing where there's the quota where you got to give away so many tickets a month and different things like that. And it's like, oh, you know what? I haven't arrested enough people. I'm getting in a little trouble. I'm going to just start kicking down doors.
I got a quota to make.
I'm going to start kicking in some doors. Somebody out here got some motherfucking weed, and I'm going to go ahead and arrest them. I don't give a fuck if you got a card. I'm going to take your ass in. So, yeah, this is fucked up, and it's one of those things where it's many shades of gray. It isn't just black or white. It's one of those situations where if you see a woman who may possibly be in trouble, you would want to be able to intervene and help her and make sure that she's not in a situation where the next fucking day it's on the news that she got killed by her fucking vicious, crazy, psycho boyfriend. But then once again, it goes back to the cops. You give them an inch, they're going to take a mile, they're going to do whatever the fuck they want to, and so much bad could come out of this.
I agree.
So bad.
It's fucked up. It's fucked up. And I know you wanted to talk about that Bitcoin thing last episode. Did you want to bring it up? The Bitcoins?
He's like, sure. I kind of was the Russia thing kind of had spoofed me into like, I mean, but I don't even want to talk about this. So who were they trying to, who were they inviting? I forget.
Wait, what are you talking about
Russia,
now?
In Russia. Oh. They, what was the deal? Them trying to step over somebody? I can't even, I remember reading it. I'm like, I'd rather be entertained with some fuckery and that thing.
He wanted the beach ball. He wanted the beach ball. That's what it was. I don't want that real shit. Give me the beach ball. Come on. Bring it over here.
My beach ball is pink with flowers. I don't know what the flowers is, but I'm loving my beach ball.
But no, I know this Bitcoin thing has been interesting. And to the people who don't know what Bitcoin is, it's essentially a new internet currency that came out not too long ago. And there's a company.
You've been talking about this, haven't we?
I think we talked about it off air. But there was a company named Mt. Gox that collapsed because apparently they had a bad infrastructure to keep track of how the Bitcoins were being transferred and all that. And some hackers basically broke in and stole close to a half a billion dollars worth of Bitcoins. And so, what's up?
Yeah, but that's not real cash, is it?
No, you can buy shit with it.
Yeah, this is the thing that's getting interesting, because it's becoming considered real currency because it has like a stock market to it. And so it's starting to gain value, and they're starting to implement it where there's some ATM somewhere in like Boston or something where you could pull Bitcoins, and they're going to start bringing it into like 7-Elevens and Circle K's where you could use your card with Bitcoins on it to purchase stuff. Like, this is becoming a real currency.
Because I know things like PayPal, they've been one of those generating the most sort of things, especially, I mean, they've expanded that of eBay who bought them. Like, they're just a sub outlet of eBay, but they generate way more fucking revenue, if you can believe that. And they're up there amongst the ranks of Visa and MasterCard, who, even though they're not a bank themselves, they're passing along and taxing motherfuckers for using this, and they have all these apps, and people want the convenience of being able to swipe or pay something off really quickly, and you know, all this shit like that. So I mean, I didn't know the Bitcoin was on that sort of level, because to me, PayPal is barely breaking wind through that. So for again, Bitcoin to do that, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and a lot of people are really thinking that within the next like 20 to 25 years that Bitcoin may be the global leader in economy, because they're like, if they could get this thing to work the way they want it to work, you could have a one currency that goes across the world, where it's not like, okay, well, the people in Jamaica are struggling because their dollar can't keep up with the American dollar. Everybody is going off of one type of currency, and they're trying to make it Bitcoin, where you can use this money any and everywhere, and it has the same value, and it's the fits the economy. I'm not an economist, so.
But because it's electronical, though, how can it not be fucking hacked? Like, it's gonna be hacked. If it's digital, there's a way to fucking hack it. Like, how can we trust that shit, though?
I don't know.
Karen?
it's one of those things, when I'm looking at it, I'm going, I think people spent real money on this.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where it's not, even though people are accepting it, it's not common currency. You know, I can't walk down the street to Harris Teeter, but like, hey, you know, this grocery here is 100 Bitcoins.
Take
these Bitcoins. You are paid in full. They're going to look at you like, yeah, they're going to be like, they're like, that's 5 Bitcoins. They're going to be like, They was like, no, this is not an arcade. We don't know what Bitcoins is. We don't want your Chuck E. Cheese tokens here. Like, that's what it is to me. You might as well say, it's 5 tokens with a mouse on it.
So yeah, but it's crazy, because I guess whoever these hackers were that stole this, it was $500 million worth of Bitcoins that they could use this as internet currency to start buying other shit. And so I don't know. This is a crazy situation. This might be something where Bitcoin is just kind of a little fad, where 5-10 years from now, we don't even remember talking about this shit. Or this might be the start of some huge thing that 25 years from now, we'll be like, remember when Bitcoin first started and all that? This might be the current me having kids. This might be the currency my kids are using once they hit high school and all that. And so, I don't know. We live in a weird world. And so, I don't know if this cryptocurrency is taking off, but a lot of people are taking this shit serious. And apparently, there's a lot of money involved in this shit. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, until Pookie and them out on the corner can take it, when they got the 5-1-1-3 t-shirt sale on the corner, Bitcoins don't mean nothing to me.
Like I said, if Pookie get up on her smart game, I'm telling you, and they have that little charge thing on their iPhone where you can start doing that. Y'all got Bitcoin?
You got them Bitcoins. I got 5 on it.
Until the city man can walk around and be like, hey, this city is 5 Bitcoins in the barbershop. Until that happens, it's like, you know, and it's one of those things where I will admit, I'm old, so I don't give a damn. You know, it's one of those things where we talking about dollars, American dollars. Anything else really don't matter to me. My paycheck comes in dollars.
It comes in dollars. That's all I'm worried about.
We don't make dollars.
It don't make no motherfucking sense. And speaking of something else that doesn't make sense, have y'all been keeping up with this whole fracking thing that's going on? For anyone out there who doesn't know,
that's not like video game lingo for shooting somebody and killing them. No, seriously.
No, I think that's some other shit. No, fracking is I forgot what the exact definition. Oh, it's hydraulic fracturing of rock to release pockets of oil. So apparently we've reached the point where, you know, we can't really trust on keep invading Afghanistan every 5 to 10 years to get some oil from them. So we're trying to find a way to get oil out of America, and they're starting to do this fracking, which is really fucking up the different landscapes and all that, because you're doing this hydraulic fracturing of the rock. You're really like kind of fucking up the foundation of ground to try to get in there and get to the oil. And so a lot of these different oil companies are talking about how, oh, it's, you know, it's not that damaging, you know, it's not causing issues or anything like that, even though there has been videos of like people who
were in areas of fracking where this one guy posted this video where oil was starting to leak into their water reservoir. And so, like, the guy could set his kitchen sink's water on fire because of all the chemicals that are leaking into the pipes from all this fracking that's going on. So all these oil companies keep talking about it's not that big of a deal, you guys are tripping and all that. But apparently some fracking got pretty close to the ExxonMobil CEO's landscape, and the guy told them, don't be fracking near my motherfucking house. So it's okay if y'all do that near those poor people, but don't come over here bringing my fucking property value down. So I thought this was interesting. Another case of some rich motherfuckers being fucking hypocrites like always.
Oh, so it's okay for the poor people to set their kids' lungs on fire with this water.
Don't fuck with mine.
Yeah, it's okay for me to take a bath and fuck around, and let's say I'm smoking my cigarette and I drop it in there, all of a sudden I'm in flames in my shower. That's cool though. The water supposed to put the fire, you know, put my flames out, not set my ass on fire.
Yeah, so this shit is fucking wild. But yeah, I guess this is something I hadn't even been keeping up with it, but anybody who follows me knows I'm a big fan of the Joe Rogan podcast, and they've been talking about fracking for a whole long while, and I hadn't really been keeping up with it until I saw this. That it's funny. Once again, it's that whole I don't give a fuck until it bothers me. I don't care if you're fracking over there in North Dakota or Montana, or if you're doing this over there with those poor people, but don't get over here by my fucking multi-million dollar house, because I've been spending a lot of money on this house and I want my property value to not drop when you get to fracking in my area. So
yeah,
fucking wild, man.
Yeah, seriously, get out of here. Don't make my what is it called, the value of it go low, and all of a sudden I have to have all these African-American hip-hop stars with Ryan spreading out the dark.
Bringing down my property value.
Property value.
Hanging out with them Justin Biebers.
Yes, and it's just one of those things where you just look and you go, well, we see what's really happening, though, happening here. And it's a class thing. I don't think that has anything to do with color. He's just like,
no,
you won't be doing this over here near me and mine.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with, I think that was Kanye West who had said that when he was like, racism, of course, still matters, but with a lot of these different things, that you could have a racist motherfucker that will work with you if they'll make money. It's starting to become a classism thing too, where it's the rich protecting the rich and fuck what the poor is going through, and then the poor, we keep fighting with each other over these little crumbs that are still left out here or whatnot, while steady these fucking millionaires are getting richer and richer, and that fucking gap between the middle class and upper class is getting wider and wider. That gap is fucking spreading.
Yeah, that's why Ray again with the shit with sprinkling crack, because again,
I know,
in the black,
just sprinkling
in the black
crack,
community,
sprinkling crack on everything. It's one of those things where when it comes to the middle class, it's almost to the point where there's no such thing, and that's something that people fail to realize. It's like, it's either rich or poor, and a lot of poor people have higher degrees, they have education, but at the end of the day, you are still considered poor. You might make more money than somebody working at McDonald's, but at the end of the day, y'all in the same boat. And if you lose your job, you're going to be an unemployment, allowed to lose a home.
Just like everybody else,
Or let's say you get in one medical incident. Even with insurance, you can still end up paying thousands and thousands of dollars. Medical reasons are the number one reasons people file for bankruptcy.
Yep.
And, you know, this is why, for me personally, I think we should have health care for everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you make. Yes, they do. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you're a bum out on the street. If something happens to you, I should not have to lose everything I have and mortgage off my home because somebody in my house got sick.
Exactly. And one of the reasons why medical bills are so fucking crazy and all that, because you have to pay doctors these millions upon millions of dollars because they have to make up for the hundreds of thousands of dollars they spent to go to school. That's another thing. If America could figure out a way to make college free, where you could get higher education for free, we could cut a lot of those costs with those medical bills and all that. But a lot of these doctors need to make millions upon millions of dollars to get out of the fucking debt they put themselves into from being in college for 15 fucking years. So it's just, we live in a wonderful world. It's wonderful. I love it every day.
Yes, I just bounced my beach ball one more time just for that.
Bounce it. Bounce it. Let's just keep bouncing it.
You reminded me of the urgent care bills that I just got in the mail that I'm going to be ignoring because they're trying to charge us $100. And I should be thankful that it isn't a $1,000 ER fucking bill, but I don't like paying anything. Damn it all.
Yeah.
And another story that I came across that I thought was interesting is a Republican state lawmaker in Arkansas who was injured in a drunk driving accident has relied on Medicare to cover most of the $1 million in medical expenses that he's incurred, which is funny is because he's been denying Medicare to others. The Arkansas representative, Josh Miller, was paralyzed in a car accident 11 years ago. He and a friend were fortified with alcohol and decided to go for a drive. He was apparently so intoxicated that he does not recall which one of them was driving, but the pickup that they were in drove off the ravine. He survived, but he broke his neck and is paralyzed. And apparently he's one of these lawmakers who have been fighting to get people off of Medicare and Social Security and food stamps and so on and so forth. But meanwhile, he's living off of this shit. Once again, another hypocritical Republican, how we love them in Fox News over here at the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast.
Yes, yes. It's just one of those things where for some reason, when it comes to Medicaid and Medicare, all races are on it. And in our country, as far as percentage of the population, more white people are on it than any other race because there's just more of them here. So statistically, it makes sense. So it's weird how a lot of times when it's presented to the general public, it's that other. Those others over there use this when at the end of the day, you need it too. And it's funny how a lot of times you vote and fight against your own interests and then turn around and get mad when things happen. Like here in the state of North Carolina, unemployment went from 2 years to 6 months. And it's just one of those things where, because our House and Senate just turned like majority Republican after like this last midterm election or whatever, and we have a Republican governor. So now they've passed all kinds of rules, all kinds of regulations. They want you to they're trying to pass a law where you have to show ID to vote and all kinds of foolishness and realign districts and things like that. So it's just one of those things where it's funny when you need it, it's okay and it's all good. But when those others need it, we need to fight against it. To me, you need to have sympathy and empathy for people regardless of if you can understand their plight or not. Because like you said before, we're all humans no matter who you are.
And it's one race.
We all have families. We all have kids. And I honestly believe everybody's mixed with something. I don't care what nobody said. Yeah. No matter what your outside skin color look like, everybody is mixed or blended with something. There's no such thing as a pure anything. If people start doing blood tests, you will realize that everybody is mixed with something. And so it's just one of those things where at the end of the day, it just breaks my heart when people can't sympathize with other people.
Yeah, and it goes back to fucking Mitt Romney. I found it so funny when he was running for president and he had that whole thing about the Dream Act and, you know, if you're born in this country, if your parents came here illegally but you're born in this country, you're considered American. And they were trying to get rid of that and so on and so forth. And it's funny because Mitt Romney's family is from Mexico. There's that whole thing about his family are fighting the drug cartels out in Mexico. If it wasn't for something like the Dream Act, you wouldn't be here to be able to try to run for president. And it's that we got some silly motherfuckers in power.
Yes.
I'm white. I'm from Boston. This does not bring up anything else.
Fucking crazy. And one last story before we get out of here. I had came across this, and I thought this was interesting, too, that Bill O'Reilly, one of our favorite people over here at the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast, recently called on to Jay-Z and Kanye West to step out and help the black youth. Apparently, Bill O'Reilly considers Kanye West a gangster rapper, and he's saying that rap has destroyed the black youth. It says, during a conversation with President Barack Obama Sr.'s advisor back in the end of February, O'Reilly took the time to attribute gangster rap to the fundamental cause of violence among the black youth. He says that he spoke on Obama's My Brother's Keeper initiative that he unveiled, and while O'Reilly commend the initiative aimed to offer young men of color the tools they need to succeed, he stated that Obama will need to get people like Jay-Z and Kanye West, all of these gangster rappers, to knock it off in order to truly help. And afterwards, O'Reilly attributed the problem to a few general social groups. It's the gangster rappers, it's the athletes, it's the tattoo guys. You gotta get them in there and tell these kids you gotta stop this destructive behavior because you're going to end up in the morgue or prison. So thank you, Bill O'Reilly, for informing all us minorities a bunch of shit that we didn't know. I appreciate that.
You sure that's not the fucking with black people segment?
I think this is the fucking with black people segment. Yeah. How many points do you give him, Karen?
I give him 100 because he's not going to double down from that statement.
Yeah, he's not backing down from that. He means that shit. That came from a certain place in his heart. So, yeah, Bill O'Reilly, you win fucking with black people today.
Yes,
you do. Oh, shit. Did you have something to say about that, Popo?
I mean, besides my full and undying support, you know, for this change that needs to happen for the youth of America, I mean, I really don't have shit to say. But it's very true that you can't say they don't have influence. He's saying it in a real stupid sort of way.
And it's...
But they're very influential. You know how much we steal from the black man, from rock and roll to everything else. You know that, you know, we're going to take this shit and we're going to run with it. And y'all black people are the problem. I'm sorry.
It's them damn Negroes. But it is funny because there is a certain point of it that I do think that hip hop music, I think that gangster rap, there is a very negative, I don't know what the word is. It does have a negative effect on impressionable minds. But the other side of that once again, I've mentioned so many times that a lot of people don't realize is that while you have the Lil Wayne's and all this putting out this ignorant ass music, black people don't run hip hop. It's a bunch of rich and probably the majority of them are Republicans who are running these record labels who are promoting these artists and who are putting out these negative stereotypes. And so we keep talking about these black people need to step up and do this and do that. But no, once again, it's these rich motherfuckers who are putting out this ignorant bullshit and then saying, why are your kids acting this way when you are pumping this shit to the ghettos like the crack of the fucking 80s? I see your face, Papa, or what?
No, I'm just saying, why do they like it so much? I mean, unless it's one of those, I mean, power by suggestion. You know what I mean? I wouldn't like crack if you wouldn't give it to me.
See, but that's the one thing, though, I will say, though, with music, is music does affect you a different way than anything else. It does get into your subconscious. It does do something to you. And it goes back to that whole information diet. You know, just like if you eat a whole bunch of bullshit, you're going to physically feel like shit. And if you take in a bunch of bullshit into your head, your mentality is going to be fucked up. And unfortunately, you do have a lot of kids in like the Chicago's and all that who are growing up in these fucked up environments. And you got a motherfucker like Chief Keef who's not helping the situation with that ignorant ass bullshit that he puts out. But then once again, it's not the black community who's putting out this music.
And you go ahead, sweetie.
Well, I'm sorry. No, I don't want to overtalk you. I don't want to be the asshole. I play the asshole, but I don't want to be. But really quickly, I just want to say that it is by suggestion, and really we really are inspired because last night, like I said, I went out a little bit, planning to do a whole lot of sinning. Well, on the journey there, I kid you not, like I'm a big old Bible thumper, believe it or not, and there's this band called 10th Avenue North, real contemporary sort of pop Christian music. It had me on a guilt trip, y'all, because I was smoking on the way, you know, my buddy, you know what I'm saying, who's a brother getting real turned up, he was just feeling really awkward because, you know, why are we listening to this shit? Why you got to make me go out convicted before we go out and look for some hoes? And let me tell you, it made me really awkward throughout the night because I was in this fucking weird juggle of, fuck am I doing? But yeah. So that's all I wanted to say because, I mean, it does have a big influence on us, you know what I mean? It might have been the weed. Yeah.
I think it was the weed. What were you going to say, Karen?
What was you going to say, Karen?
I think for me... I wanted to discuss some things that you brought up. Number one, when you were talking about music... There are no studies and statistics that can say that what people listen to actually affects them. Rap music and gangster music have been around for years. They're especially our generation. A lot of us grew up with this, and we're not thugs. We're not robbing banks. We're not going out here shooting and killing and all that. People use that as an excuse for their actions. And it's one of those things too where it goes back to parenting. Parents need to actually parent. Yes. And a lot of parents don't parent.
Yes.
But gangsta music to me has nothing to do with this because I listen to it and I'm not a thug. I'm not going out here popping and locking and capping folks and all that shit.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where to an extent I don't agree with that. I think a lot of people use that as an excuse to excuse people behavior. And it's one of those things where when you hear this, we care. Black people have always cared. But the thing about it is that our marches, our the things we do in the community, all these community centers, all these people protesting, guess what it doesn't do? Bring the news to these areas. All these areas where people want to turn around and go, nobody cares. We've been caring. We're sitting here watching our children die and all this shit. We're the ones crying and fussing and saying it's an issue, but it's not until it becomes a quote-unquote public or a quote-unquote American issue, that's when the cameras want to come and talk about the kids in Chicago. That's when the cameras want to come and talk about Trayvon Martin. That's when the cameras want to come. But it's like when those cameras leave, you still are left with the community here that has these issues that are not being addressed and resolved. You know, it's one of those things when people bring this up, they don't talk about true poverty. They don't talk about being born in an environment. They don't talk about children not having the lack. They don't talk about in the black community, we have a higher rate of unemployment, a higher rate of uneducation, you know, a higher rate of when you do try to apply for a job and have the same standards, you are less likely to be hired. They don't really talk about these things.
Freakonomics did that whole thing where they took two resumes and they had the same exact information on it. One of the applications, the guy's first name was Tyrone, so you can tell that he was black. And then the other person had a name of like John Smith or something where you could tell he was Caucasian. And they sent each one of them out, you know, 5,000 times or something like that. And that white name that was on that resume got called back three times as much as that black guy's resume, where it was the same exact information on both resumes, but it was like, that's a black dude. I don't know. Oh, but this resume looks perfect. Let's bring this white guy over. And so there is a lot of it that where we, unfortunately, black people are treated as a monolith. We're treated as all the same way. You see 2 Chainz on TV. That's how all those black people act. And then you have a lot of these black kids who can't get jobs or they can't get the same type of education and all that. And unfortunately, they grow up and they start getting mixed up in violence and all that, or different organized crime or selling drugs and all that. And it has nothing necessarily to do with the music they're living. It's the what they've been faced with in life. They don't have the same opportunities as a lot of other people. And so I do agree, and like what Karen said earlier, one thing I truly really agree with is a lot of this shit comes back to parents. Me being a parent myself, I'm raising my boys to understand the difference between right or wrong. We have the whole thing where when girls, you raise a little girl and you tell her to, you know, be careful what you wear, make sure you don't get raped. But we don't tell our young boys enough, you don't need to be out there raping. You need to teach the young boys that if that woman isn't trying to give it to you, don't try to take it from her. And me being a parent, I'm going to raise my kids to be the respectable young men to do what they need to do to make the society better in the best way that they possibly can. And a lot of it does come back to the parenting, because every time you have one of these fucking incidents, it's like, well, what was the kid listening to? What video games were he playing? What was the movies that he was watching? The question is, where the fuck was his parent the whole goddamn time?
Was he into Pepe Le Pew?
Was he playing some Grand Theft Auto? What was going on? And a lot of it, they don't go back to what was the parents? You know, where were the parents in that situation? So I do agree wholeheartedly with that.
Yeah, and also I say too, you were talking about like Kanye West, it's one of those things where I just want to look and roll my eyes. It's like, motherfucker, do you listen to Kanye West? Kanye West is not a gangster rapper. He is far from it. He's somebody that has money, that's angry that he's not being respected and rapping about white folks not respecting him because I'm black. I want to do this. I've spent my hundreds of thousands of hours. I want to be able to, you know, have a clothing line. I want to, you know, I want to be able to be respected in France. Like that, those are his issues. And those issues are not gangster issues.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, you don't listen. When people say rapper, somebody threw Kanye West, you heard some beats, you heard him talking. Yeah. So you was like, fuck it, he a gangster rapper. Yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where when you talk about, you talk about Jay-Z up. Jay-Z is married to Beyonce, got Blue Ivy. It's one of those things where he's about that billions now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, where you're looking at this dude versus turning around and saying, instead of pointing fingers at things that really aren't making a difference in the community, nobody really wants to help the community, and the things that are in place to help the communities are constantly getting defunded.
All these
programs, they're constantly voting them down. When they're making these cuts, they're constantly cutting this stuff out, and it affects children of all races, creeds, and colors. But it's one of those things where when you tell them, hey, you got to put programs out there because there's no way for these people to help themselves. Nobody really wants to address those issues. It's easier to point at the superficial things that I'm not trying to be funny, that don't matter. Okay, exactly. Rap music. Is rap music going to put food on my table? Is rap music going to get me a job? You know, it's not in the reality. And, you know, in the scheme of things. And this is one of those things where at the end of the day, you got to sit down and you got to say, you know what? If nothing else fails, since it's Women's Day, you know, they just got to go out there and get the hoeing. We got to respect the ladies. Make that money. No matter what your community
make
is.
Make that money, dog.
This is another reason that me being an R&B fan, I'm a big fan of Frankie Lyman. When put in a tough jam, you put your bitch out in the street to make it, bring you some money.
Yeah, put it like this. If you can get wet, your pocketbook should never be empty.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think on that note, it's
ladies,
that time.
This is a for-profit business. It's for-profit. You clean, it takes a little bit of maintenance, and it's back on the street.
I know, it's that beautiful thing that you can always wash and sell it one more time.
Oh, yes, wash it clean, shave it, do what you got to do. Just make it real pretty. We love
tropical fruits, yes, the waffle, the lilac.
The lilac. I love it. And I think on that note, it's that time, y'all, for dedications. And I hope Papo's ready, because I think Karen was ready with a dedication this week. So I'm going to go ahead and, ladies first, I'm going to pass over to Karen. And who do you dedicate this episode to?
I dedicate this episode to my husband, and I dedicate this episode to all the Black Eye Who Tips fans. I dedicate this episode to your fans that are going to come and check us out.
Yes.
It's just one of those things where I'm all about that love. Just show love everywhere. You don't have to get a pussy away, but you know, you can. You know, we don't mind that, but that's one way to show love. You know, since it's Women's Day, we're gonna emphasize on it. You can do something simple. Just put your breasts on Instagram, you know, flash them across Twitter,
go,
you know.
On out there. Mm.
You know, we could do that too. You know, it's just warm in some places where your sundresses, you know. I support these things. I support these things. I'm all about the love of the ladies.
And I support them too. So ladies, go out there and burn your bras. That's all I got to say. Just burn them. Get rid of them.
Show, empower yourself.
Empower yourself.
Than me.
Yeah. Let them titties hang.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm looking at you, Papa.
Yeah. Well, speaking of empowerment.
Let them Rick Ross titty hang. No.
I don't have the balls for that. Part of me wanted to if I was more on a workout. My workout regimen as I should have been. I would love to show them before and after, but I'm still stuck on that before, though. That's the unfortunate thing. But one of my, I guess my dedication, though, because we'll cut to that. There are some leaked photos recently. And, you know, with relationships and today's text and technology, I mean, ain't shit private. And if you fuck me over, I'm finna, you know, talk some shit. Lord knows I love to make it seem just like a faggot in the club or, you know what I'm saying, someone trying to protest SB 1062. Jenny or Jeanette McCarty, she's most famously known for, I have to bring up her name again because I'm probably mispronouncing it. She's most known for iCarly. It's a show on Nickelodeon. You familiar with her names? I'm sorry, Jeanette McCurdy. Mm-hmm. And she's just a bad little Juanita that, of course, naturally, you know, she's right because she's white. but I always liked her because she was very spunky. She kind of has the white version of Rochelle Rodriguez's PMSing sexiness. Oh, okay. Anyway, she was just the root bitch on the show. She's growing up now. And some very racy leaked pictures of her in lingerie were leaked. And once again, she just recently broke up with the NBA star.
Yeah, I was going to say, ain't that the chick that was dating Andrew Drummond, the basketball player?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I know who you're talking about.
I don't keep up with sports, but naturally, her being a small little petite white woman, of course, she was the big old black monster. And I don't know what ended up happening, but she was seen reportedly with some other big old black monster. He get real jealous. Pictures leak out of nowhere. Benefit for everybody in the whole world because it's she bad.
She bad.
At least, I mean, but anyone could pose and stick something out, and she looked really good in it, though. Women were empowering her, saying, shit, if I could, I would, too. So, I mean, they didn't offend anybody. Yeah, Lord knows I wasn't too pissed off about it. Besides my natural haterism for not being able to shoot it myself because I was very...
I wanted to take the pictures. Yeah. Damn it!
Yeah, I can't imagine that selfie life.
And I would like. Oh, what's up?
Hot one? She said something. What was that, Ken?
I said, you ain't about that selfie life.
I mean, it takes so many for me to be able to choose one. So it's like, no. Nah. Well, we all take them, though, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I check for boogers when I get into selfie mode. Put that front camera on and just check.
You take 10 pics and figure out which one's the best looking one?
But it just takes too damn long, you know? Find a good side. And then I gotta tuck in my cheeks a whole lot and do all that.
Do the duck face.
It's too much work. Yeah, it don't work for me, but it's all right.
And I would like to dedicate this episode to the lovely Dominican model that goes by the name of Avril Guerrero. I just stumbled across her on the lovely thing called Tumblr, and I'm in love. She definitely has some African ancestry in her, because she looks more black than anything else. But I guess she's a Dominican model, a top model from Dominica. And so that is my dedication for this episode, Avril Guerrero. So y'all hop on them Google searches and see what's good with it. You know what I'm talking about, because that's what I'm looking at.
I say, spell that for me.
Oh, it's A-V-R-I-L. And then the last name, Guerrero, G-U-E-R-R-E-R-O.
I love when I see the hair all big and the naps is all out. Like, I really do like that. As much as I'm seduced by the wax skins, I really do. I love when I see natural looks like that.
So, yes, sir. So, we got some new pitches for the Spank Bank. So once again, real quick, we want to thank Karen from the Blackout Tips for coming and fucking with us, little small podcasters trying to catch up with what y'all doing over there.
We ain't nothing.
TBGT Nation out there, the Blackout Who Tips Nation, who is definitely the fucking trailblazers of this podcast shit. I hats off to all the fucking hard work that y'all do. Y'all are professional podcasters. Y'all do this shit for real, and all the rest of us is trying to keep up with what y'all doing over there.
Yeah. thanks for coming up, showing love, and being part of this kooky little thing.
No, y'all, thank you for welcoming me and me feeling so welcome. And like I said, I'm a talker, so I do, you know, I do apologize for just, I don't
know. Oh, no, do your thing.
Show.
If anything, I feel rude as hell for talking over, but I'm going to blame that on lag, though. That wasn't me trying to overstep anything, and I'm blaming that on lag.
No problem. I want to tell you guys, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show, and we'll definitely tag this when we do our guest spots. We'll definitely tag this in our guest spots, and people do is, like, we got, like, an email chain where we say, hey, these are the shows we've been on, and people actually do go back and they listen and they go, hey, I was on this show, I liked it. So again, I want to tell everybody over at the Black Guy Who Tips, thank you for coming and checking, and make this your home, guys. You know, let them know, you know, get them feedback, let them know that you found them through us. And again, if this is the first time you are hearing my voice, I am one half of the Black Guy Who Tips. It's a podcast that I do with my husband 5 days a week.
Yes,
you can
yes.
find me on Twitter at Say That Again, that as in D-A-T. You can find my husband on Twitter at Rodimus Prime. You can find everything about us at theblackguywhotips.com. So I welcome your fans over in our space, our fans over in your space, and I just can't tell you thank you enough, because this has been a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
We appreciate it, and thank you for coming on and fucking with us over here at our very offensive, entertaining, and sometimes enlightening show. So once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, topics you want to hear us talk about, go ahead and shoot us an email. You can find us on the web on the following sites: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, WordPress, MySpace. It still exists, y'all. SoundCloud, Podomatic, just add IPHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Plus. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. And if you're too lazy to do any of that shit, head over to the IPHMPodcast.com or I'm Black, He's Mexican.com. You can find all of our social media links there. So once again, I'm Black, He's Mexican, and if you didn't like this episode, you must be racist. Yes, sir. So until next time, whoa! We'll be right back.
so don't call me a nigga unless you call me my nigga. I'm a king, O.E. Be slipping, falling from my chalice. Don't mind the bumper that was missing from my carriage. It's poorly tinted, but my women not embarrassed. I can't bury your average. You feel slighted, ayy. It's like she know that I got it. It feel like it, ayy. I real life it, ayy. I spill vices, ayy. You will like it. I promise it's trail vomit. I'm honest, nigga. Ain't no getting money on that conscious shit. I'ma just load my gat on some survival shit. And when I hear they got a drought on it, I take a month out of rap and I hustle till I'm out of it. I got that coke flow, that heat rock. I got that old school, huddle to the beatbox. Baby, I'm just digging in your gushing for the sweet spot. I'm a beat thot till that motherfucking beat drop.
My niggas, my killers, my killers, my checkers, my rolls. I got love for my sisters, my brothers, my sons. I got love for my sisters, my women, my bitches, my strippers, my hoes. For my niggas, my killers, my dealers, my sugars, my bros. I got love for my sisters, my women, my bitches, my strippers, my hoes.
Hey, hope they don't kill you cause you black today. They only feel you when you pass away. The eulogy be so moving. We live the scenes of those movies. Conflict in school or dope moving. It's so youthful. But if you die today, I hope you find it some relief or what a great escape. We still dodging from police when we make a plate. They lying searching in my bucket with the straightest face. It could be 88. Sometimes I wonder why we kill us, why they killing us. I think we only were a grill because they grilling us, or how they feeling us. Gotta look real and tough, gotta keep your hands in the cart. Know you stealing stuff. Came a long way from a boat and an auction. Now we got names in a vote, then a coffin. Ain't shit changed but the coast. We adopted little black children. You can call me that nigga, nigga.
I got love for my niggas, my killers, my dealers, my trickers, my bros. I got love for my sister, my women, my bitches, my strippers, my hoes. I got love for my niggas, my killers, my dealers, my trickers, my bros. I got love for my sister, my women, my bitches, my strippers, my hoes. I got love for my niggas.